good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400. That would be the phone number, 454-6609. That would be the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up, get to me. I'm telling you, we have so much stuff to talk about. And if you want to email me, you should do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. My goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about, huh? Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Mr. President, when the President of the United States breaks the law, he must be held accountable. That is why today I am introducing a resolution to censor George W. Bush. George W. Bush authorized an illegal program to spy on the American citizens on American soil, then misled Congress and the public about the existence and legality of the program. It is up to this body to reaffirm the law, the rule of law, by condemning George Bush's actions. All of us in this body took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and bear true allegiance to the same. Fulfilling that oath requires us to speak clearly and forcefully when the President violates the law. This resolution allows us to send a clear message that the President's conduct was wrong, and we must do that. The President's actions demand a formal judgment from Congress. Well, huh? Those are the words of Senator Russ Feingold. He goes on to say that this president has done wrong, but this body can do right by condemning his conduct and showing the people of this nation that his actions will not be allowed to stand unchallenged. Let's think about this for a second. George W. Bush has said it's okay to spy on American citizens. No, he has said in the same way that Dick Cheney has said, I have the right to shoot somebody, a 79-year-old man, in the face and the heart anytime I feel like it. That's my business. That is my business. And I don't have to atone to you. I don't have to answer to you. I don't have to explain to you what I'm doing because that's my business. With the same type of Dick Cheney, I can shoot anybody in the face and the heart attitude. That's what George W. Bush was bringing to his statement of I have the right to spy on y'all and whenever I want to. I spy on y'all whenever I want to. And what's going to be fascinating, y'all, is how the Democrats stand up behind Feingold on this. It's going to be interesting to see how they stand up behind Feingold on this. Feingold goes on to say that the president has tried to claim that informing a handful of congressional leaders, the so-called Gang of Eight, somehow excuses breaking the law. Of course, several of these members said that they weren't given the full story, and all of them were prohibited from discussing what they were told. So, in fact, that they were informed under these extraordinary circumstances does not constitute congressional oversight, and it most certainly does not constitute congressional approval of the program. 454-0400 is my phone number, Feingold goes on to say that the president's wrongdoing demands a response, and it's not just a response that prevents wrongdoing in the future, but a response that passes judgment on what happens. When we in Congress bear the responsibility to check a president who has violated the law, who continues to violate the law, and who has not been held accountable for his actions. Passing a resolution to censure the president is a way to hold this president accountable. A resolution of censure is a time-honored means for the Congress to express the most serious disapproval possible, short of impeachment, of an executive's conduct. The Constitution looks to Congress to right the balance of power. The American people look to us to take action, to speak out with one clear voice against wrongdoing by the President of the United States. In our system, no one, not even the President, is above the law. Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent that the text of the resolution be printed in the record. Following my remarks, I yield the floor. Ouch. Ouch. And you can hear the expected howling from the right, howling like they were a 79-year-old man shot in the face and the heart. You can hear the howling. You can hear it. We hear, and I'm going to express this because there's so many of you right-wingers out there right now that are cussing at the radio but lack the courage or intellect to call up and to confront this issue. So I'm going to speak for you. It's not difficult. It's not difficult to speak for y'all. Because you have to speak for cowards because they don't speak for themselves. So let me explain to you what you all are cussing, how you all are cussing at your radios right now. What you're saying is that this is just presidential politics. This Feingold wants to be the president of the United States. Yeah. True that. His agenda is clear. Yes, he wants to be president of the United States. The question is, did George W. Bush spy on Americans without approval? And is a censure the appropriate response? The answer is absolutely unequivocally yes. It is wrong. And censure should be done. So the other howling that we're going to hear, oh, no, the other howling that is going on right now from those of you on the right, those of you that are hooked like glue to this presidency, which means that, you know, this means that if you're hooked to George W. Bush, that means when he goes down, you go down with him, right? That's the challenge of being hooked. So the howling that you're going to hear from the right is that this is not the right time for a censure. We're giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Really? Aid and comfort to an enemy that, you know what? I think the enemy, you hear the quotation marks, the enemy likes George Bush in office. I think that the enemy is George W. Bush is the best recruiting tool in the world for the enemy. George W. Bush causes tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people all over the world to come together. People that have never come together on issues are coming together as a result. He is the great uniter, but not like he thought he was going to be. The enemy would be frightened. The enemy is comforted every time the Republican Party speaks out and says, don't attack George W. Bush. They say, right on. Senator Frist, you got the right one now, baby. Keep saying, keep talking that smack. That's right. George, he's our man. We're not giving comfort to the enemy. We're showing the enemy that, you know what? We're not all crazy. We're not all crazy. And what is it that, what's that word? What are we trying to bring to Iraq? What's that word? Democracy. Oh, yeah, and that word democracy requires that you follow the rule of law. And the rule of law says that you have to inform Congress and the American people and that you have to follow the law. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There's so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. It's amazing. It's amazing. I listen to right-wing television. I listen to what they say. And you know what is missing every single time? You know what's missing every single time? Is a strong voice from the left. Because so many of their arguments are straw arguments. So many of their arguments are based purely upon their high-fiving each other. Some of these clowns are so convinced of their righteousness and how right they are. And the only reason that they think they're right is because they keep telling each other, yeah, you're right, yeah, you're right, yeah, you're right, yeah, you're right. That's how they think that they're right. It's because all they do is sit around and tell each other, yeah, you're right. And these are amazing times. And the Democrats, there's a wonderful article by George Clooney. And his first line is, I am a liberal. And I make no apologies for it. Hell, I'm proud of it. Too many people run away from the label. They whisper it like you'd whisper, I'm a Nazi. Like it's a dirty word. But turn away from saying I'm a liberal is like turning away from saying that blacks should be allowed to sit in the front of the bus. The fear of being criticized can be paralyzing. Just look at the way so many Democrats caved in the run to the war. In 2003, a lot of us were saying, where's the link between Saddam and bin Laden? What does Iraq have to do with 9/11? We knew it was BS, which is why it drives me crazy to hear all these Democrats saying we were misled. It makes me want to shout, I can't say this word on the radio, but it ends with a K. You weren't misled. You were afraid of being called unpatriotic. Bottom line, it's not merely our right to question our government, it's our duty, whatever the consequences. We can't demand freedom of speech and then turn around and say, but please don't say bad things about us. You got to be a grown-up and take your hits. I'm a liberal. Fire away. See? See, now, why we have to have an actor say the things that our politicians should be saying? And here's something equally disturbing. There is a website, a woman that has a website, Carolyn Kay. She's called the show a couple of times. She has this amazing Democratic website, Make Them Accountable. And she did a little, and this is a thing that's so troubling to me. She did a little a breakdown of how many men there are in progressive radio and how many women there are in progressive radio, how many men there are in progressive writers, women, television, etc., going on down the line, breaking it down. And when she did progressive talk radio, there were like five of us, five women. I was one of them. And what was fascinating to me is, and I'm going to get this survey because this is important, and I'd like for you to go to her website, and I'd like for you to go to the Democratic website and listen to the and read the discussion that's taking place as a result of her just putting this out there. I was stunned at the numbers my own self. But what was equally more stunning, what's equally as disturbing, I'm reading what George Clooney is talking about. I'm a liberal, fine. I coined it, living my life as a liberal in love, and I did that 10 years ago. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. There were so many angry, supposedly Democratic voices saying, what difference does it make if it's a man or a woman? That's what's wrong with all of you feminists out there. That was the discussion on Democratic website. I'm going to get that for you and share that with you. The number of women, and Carolyn Kay had a criteria of what it took to land in progressive and land as a talk show host, a radio talk show host. You had to be on 5 days a week. You couldn't be a sidekick to anybody else. You had to have the full show to yourself. And there are only like six women out there. And the rest of them are on Air America. And then there's me. It's amazing, folks. It is amazing. So when I read this thing with George Clooney talking about cussing at the Democrats, there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done. The rage and the anger, even Carolyn Kay said she was stunned at how mad people were that she pointed out the dearth of women, and there were only six black folks on the entire list. The dearth of women in progressive news media. What difference does it make? I'm telling you, it was eye-opening. It was eye-opening. I was reminded of the world that we live in and how much work has to be done. Yeah, George Clooney, you right. Too many Democrats are punks. But there's a lot more going on, too. There's a lot of wrong going on out there. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. I'll be back. Come on, baby. Burn, brother.
that.
Gotta keep rolling.
Come on, people.
Get it together.
Yeah.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Moulton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 40 between Poplar Street Bridge and 14th, look for that accident to have been cleared and maybe some delays still. Southbound 61 at the I-70 bridge, look for maintenance operations have it reduced to one lane and is reportedly back over about a mile. Eastbound 44 from 141 to the Merrimack River Bridge is on the move. Northbound 270 from 141 to Lindbergh, look for no problems report. Northbound 270 at 44, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between Chesterfield Airport and Mason, look for everything to be running smoothly. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way into 94 looks good. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain to Graham Hanley is on the move. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way to 79, there's still slow traffic out there in pockets, so use caution. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Missouri Bank, look for road construction having the right lane closed at this hour. And traffic is slowing back through 5570. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB looks good, although westbound 64 to 5570 split looks for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing is normal this hour. Northbound Route 3 at the 5570 split looks good, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. Highway O at 55, also there's a report of an overturned vehicle. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the lower 50s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 60. Wednesday evening, not quite as cool, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain with a low around 40. Then on Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 31. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 22 under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Moulton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, folks, this is Decent Guy Don. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday, right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group of people up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight, Monday through Friday, for the Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
Why listen to Brand X Radio when you can listen to something brand new? Join the conversation by calling 314-454-0400 or toll free from outside the local calling area at 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you who may be alphabetically challenged, that's 1-877-920-9468. Stop rushing around the radio dial. Leave it here and call in and talk on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray from Higher Ground. You can hear me from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I look forward to talking to you folks.
People, keep on learning.
Tuesday morning at 7, the Wake Up Call will spend some time with world-renowned educator Dr. Ruby Payne. Her book, A Framework for Understanding Poverty, is a gold standard in the education industry for constructing an entirely different way of looking at effectively educating low-income and minority students. Imagine the culture clash that the displaced children of the Gulf Coast are enduring as they struggle in new school districts. Will hidden rules of social classes prevent them from achieving a successful future? Join Dr. Ruby Payne Tuesday morning at 7 here on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
What you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that time will. Things may not go as you planned. Dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you to. Down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at the speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't.
Don't you look down. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, in the next break, we will be looking for you to call in and be the third caller. Don't forget, on Friday, this is our new Liz Brown wake-up call present to you. The Because We Care packages. We're going to have wonderful gifts in there. We're going to have T-shirts. How about George Bush doesn't care about black folks T-shirt? How about a book from one of our guests this week or last week or even the week before, Nikki Giovanni's book? We have this. It's just a wonderful care package, Because We Care. So next hour, listen for the sounder, and we will be taking the third caller, to whose name will be put in that drawing for the Because We Care packages on Friday at 9:45. So listen for the sounder right at the end of the break here. Be the third caller. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Dimitri, good morning.
I want to also express my appreciation for you and the four other women. You are unique phenomena in our culture. But with all due respect, I can't share your enthusiasm for Senator Feingold's statement.
Okay, why not?
First of all, I think that he's saying the right words. I think they're beautiful words for the wrong reason. And I think the wrong reason is damage control. Because what it is a slap on the wrist, and it puts way back on the back burner the impeachment process, and that carries some punishment and evicts Bush from office.
Well, I don't know that it necessarily puts impeachment on the back burner, because one of the things that he said in his statement, and he says this is for the spying piece. The impeachment piece is for lying about the war. So these are two different issues. This is a 1-2 punch. The censure is for breaking the law about spying on Americans. The impeachment is for lying to get us into war. Two different things.
But I know it's two different things, but knowing the general public and the attention span, when they feel that there's some kind of punishment going to be meted out to President Bush, that takes away their enthusiasm to follow through on the impeachment process.
That's one school of thought, Dimitri. The other school of thought is that once people see somebody wounded and ready to take them down, they're ready to take them all the way down.
Oh, I hope so.
So, I mean, I understand your point, but there's also the other part of it. I mean, some people thought that just exposing Richard Nixon would be enough. No, they escorted him all the way out of the office. So, we'll see. I mean, I say keep pounding away to something sticks. keep pounding away. I think there's a danger in one single strategy. I think I like death by a thousand cuts.
Well, there's no punishment to this, is there?
Well,
Bush can dance his way to the end of his term, and it doesn't.
And
he doesn't even break step.
Well, see, here's the thing, and I'll go back to what I initially said to you, Dimitri, is that this is not the only thing that's coming at George Bush. It's a censure. The censure is about the spying. The impeachment is about the war. I don't believe if there's a censure that's coming out of this, I don't believe that it's going to stop at just a censure. I believe it will go on to the impeachment piece of it.
You think that this is like a snowball that it'll gather?
A depth of a thousand cuts.
Oh, okay.
Keep cutting. Just keep cutting.
Okay.
Keep cutting. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dimitri. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm looking at this. You need to go to makethemaccountable.com. This is pretty amazing. I was speaking a little bit about it in the last hour, but this is what Carolyn Kay writes. My post about the number of women versus men in progressive media stirred up a hornet's nest, and that's a good thing. It got people thinking. You can discuss the issue at Daily Kos, that's DailyKos, or at Democratic Underground, where I have been mightily criticized for my criteria, and even for bringing the subject up at all. Here are some of her lists. She has a category, radio talk show host. And here's the criteria. On at least one sizable land-based broadcast station, weekday program at least 2 hours in length, and not a sidekick. For females, there are six of us. Liz Brown, Lynn Cullen, Janine Garofano, Rachel Maddow, Stephanie Miller, and Randy Rhodes. For men, there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. Newspaper columnists, There are, and these are with major newspapers. Females, there are 2, 4, 6. Molly Ivins, Arianna Huffington, Ellen Goodman, Marie Coco, Rosa Brooks, and Helen Thomas. Editorial cartoonists. And there are only 2 women there. For magazine writers and editors, there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. And then there are at least 35 or 40 men. Book authors. And they put, she lists 2, 4 women. And bloggers. There's 1 woman blogger, Arianna Huffington. That's a big deal. That's a big, big, big deal. And what is also a big deal are the comments that people are really kind of mean-spirited and reveal how far this country has to go. For the first time, one of the writers writes to Carolyn Kay at makethemaccountable.com. For the first time, I must take exception to your items about the gender. There are 2 components. The lists make me laugh. I don't know of a lot of these men. What the list tells me is that the opportunity for women to break into the progressive media as a woman is a hell of a lot easier than a man. Think about it. You only have a few women to compete against. Men have a lot more other men. But before you say, but I am also competing against men, that would only hold true if you were gender blind and the hiring authorities were. Obviously, neither are. Life is unfair. Unfair is not the same as unethical or immoral. If there was a law discriminating against women in the field, that is patently legal and ethically wrong. But there isn't. That's from a progressive. That's from a progressive. That's from a progressive. Huh. Here's why. No great sexist conspiracy to keep women down here. In general, women aren't as attracted to careers in politics as men are. In fact, if you adjust the figures to reflect the ratios of the applicants, I believe that you'll find that women have a better chance in succeeding in political careers than men do. Wow. You need to check this out, folks. Check it out at MakeThemAccountable.com. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I want to share some stuff with you, but I'm going to do it when I get back from the break. I want to make a compare and contrast between Andrew Young and Hillary Clinton. Didn't see that coming, did you? Didn't see that coming. Hillary Clinton and Andrew Young, they have a lot in common. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back. Stay with me. And don't forget to listen to the Sounders for the giveaway on Friday. Pay attention. Pay attention.
To register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Jerusalem. Israeli army forces raided a prison in Jericho yesterday looking for a Palestinian militant by the name of Ahmed Sadat. Reports indicate that Sadat, a member of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and several of his associates are refusing to leave the prison. The Israeli troops have threatened to start killing prisoners if Sadat does not come with them. He was arrested for the killing of Tourism Minister Rivam Zevi back in 2001. Israeli officials say the killing was revenge for the Israeli assassination of the man who held Sadat's position before him. Sadat has been in the custody of the Palestinian Authority since 2002, but the High Palestinian Court ordered him to be released 4 years ago, saying there was no evidence linking him to the Zevi assassination. Sadat chose to stay in the prison after Israel put out the word that he would be killed if he was set free. And Dateline Memphis. Soul singer Isaac Hayes says he will no longer do the voice for the cartoon character Chef in the animated TV show South Park. Hayes became upset after the program lampooned the Church of Scientology, to which he belongs. Hayes says he now finds the program insensitive to personal spiritual beliefs and demonstrates too much intolerance and bigotry toward religious beliefs. Hayes had been the voice of the character Chef since South Park debuted in 1997. Co-creator of the show, Matt Stone, says he holds no ill feelings toward Hayes, but he does find it rather odd that after 150 episodes, Mr. Hayes never had a problem with the show making fun of Christians, Muslims, Mormons, or Jews, but he only became sensitive to the situation when it was his religion that was featured on the program. South Park has four animated boys growing up in a dysfunctional Colorado town and regularly makes fun of famous people and sensitive subjects. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri, St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
First Run Theater presents auditions for the play Yo-Yo Kids at DeSmet Jesuit High School in Creve Coeur. The auditions take place on Saturday from 10 to 3 and Sunday from 1 to 4. Performance dates for the play are May 12th through 14th and May 19th and 20th at the DeSmet School. For more information, contact the director at ejones63761@mac.com. Theatrical news to you from WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 7, the Wake Up Call will spend some time with world-renowned educator Dr. Ruby Payne. Her book, A Framework for Understanding Poverty, is a gold standard in the education industry for constructing an entirely different way of looking at effectively educating low-income and minority students. Imagine the culture clash that the displaced children of the Gulf Coast are enduring as they struggle in new school districts. Will hidden rules of social classes prevent them from achieving a successful future? Join Dr. Ruby Payne Tuesday morning at 7 here on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you today?
Dan, I'm wonderful.
Good. I was really surprised that Amy Goodman wasn't on that list.
Well, I didn't see a category. Is Amy Goodman on radio every day?
I think she's on the 88.1.
88.1, okay.
And then I think I know she's on every night on
television.
O'clock, yeah.
But she didn't have a television category.
Oh, okay.
There wasn't a television category. But Amy Goodman should have been on there for at least a writer and definitely for a host as well.
Yeah, really.
Right.
Another thing I want to talk about was the Democratic candidates that
mm-hmm.
we have. And we have a sorry lot.
Yes, we do.
And I'm just really disappointed. I haven't seen who voted for the Patriot Act yet, but I think there were only 10 dissenters, if I'm not mistaken.
It's frightening. It is frightening down to the tips of your toes. There is no opposition party.
No, exactly.
There is no opposition party.
We have nowhere to turn almost.
It's frightening. And what's particularly hurtful to me and irritating to me is when you see candidates like Paul Hackett,
mm-hmm.
Push, who was invited mm-hmm. to run in Ohio as a United States Senator,
mm-hmm.
who was an honest war hero, who told it like it was and wasn't scared, he's drummed out, and they bring a milquetoast person in that has a lot of money.
Yeah, they bullied him out.
Yes, they did.
And
yes,
now we're talking about Hillary Clinton and Lieberman and
other
people, and they're just, we might as well have Bush in there again.
Well, here's the good news about Lieberman. He is drawing a Democratic opposition in the primary.
Oh, really?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And a Democrat that has money.
Good.
So he's drawing some opposition. And, you know, the Republicans have even talked about endorsing Lieberman. Cross-endorsing Lieberman. Now, how much more evidence do you need? And Hillary Clinton's people like Molly Ivins, who was on the list that Make Them Accountable. She's awesome.
Yeah,
Molly Ivins said, I wrote a column, I will not endorse, support Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, Molly's really cool.
She's very good.
And one other thing is that I think that if the Democrats really don't have a backbone or a spine anymore to stand up to all of what's gone on the last 5 years, 6 years, I think we're just about, I think we're headed for hard times again.
I think that sometimes, unfortunately, I think you have to hit the bottom sometimes in order to get your way to the top. We're taking a bullet train to the bottom. In how much more do you need to kick back at the Republicans? You have, you could have spent your entire campaign for these upcoming elections on Duke Cunningham. If that's all you have, but you have the indictment of Tom DeLay. You have spying on Americans.
You have Medicare.
You have the prescription drug debacle. You have a million different things.
And none, they're not hitting on anything.
Oh, Jesus. All right, Dan.
Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Thank you, ma'am.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Morning.
Good morning.
Ms. Brown, you know I was watching C-SPAN the other day.
All right, now.
And they was, and what's his name, Connors, from up there in Detroit.
Conyers.
Conyers, yes. You know, I want you to think about this for me, Miss Brown.
Yes, sir.
If, you see, he's an old man like me.
Yes, sir.
And if that was a white boy was there bringing them down like this, they wouldn't have no problem. But this is a black man is bringing him, putting him in this position. Am I right?
You're talking about John Conyers and his effort to have the discussion about impeachment.
That's the one.
Okay. I'm going to be watching this, Mr. Bailey. I'm going to be watching this to see how it plays out. I think it takes the courage of someone like John Conyers to bring this to the front. I think that a white person would also be hugely attacked. What I think happens with the person of African descent when they bring this to the forefront, I think that they're ignored.
They also are
dismissed. Okay, so I think that anybody that brings this is going to be attacked, is going to be dismissed, and is going to be minimized.
Well, I can say this. I was watching that host was on that show, and when it's just the idea a black man is bringing this up.
Mm-hmm.
Most white people in this country do not want a black man to do this.
All right, now thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Prince Carter. Good morning.
You know, it's amazing to me how the highest office of the country, the President of the United States, can just lie to the American people and not be held accountable for that. I look at how he set up and lied about the fact that they didn't know about the Katrina thing. And then they got a tape that they come up 6 months later when they show the tape where he actually knew all of this stuff before. That's just one incident. President Bush, the scariest thing about him is that I don't think that there's going to be a viable candidate that's going to come forward and step up to replace him. We need to be focused on who's going to fix this mess that he has created for our country.
That's
where the focus needs to be. Who is going to be able to come behind him and fix all these ills that he has created?
And it's going to take a generation to undo some of this stuff, if not more.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, Clark.
Liz Brown, you are an amazing woman. What you said earlier this morning, it woke me. It brought tears to my eyes. Liz, I foresee you 2012 to be nominated as federal judge. Would you accept it?
No.
Why not?
I have no interest in being a federal judge.
And keep your radio station at the same time.
I have no interest.
That would be incredible.
All right, Clark. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Hey, give it to you. You were born without.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution with the air. Tell me, brother, how is this man?
That matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Masked and armed Palestinians stormed the British Council office in Gaza today. They are furious that Americans and Britons will no longer supervise a prison in Jericho. A Palestinian accused of masterminding the assassination of an Israeli cabinet member is being held there. And today, Israeli troops demanded his release.
There's more continued shelling of the prison now, as the Ahmed Sadat and his 200 fellow prisoners refuse to surrender. Apaches are now striking the prison from above, and tanks are firing into the front gate.
ABC's Wilf Dinnick in Jericho. Witnesses in the Gaza Strip also say that a Red Cross worker has been seized by Palestinian gunmen in Gaza. The judge in the trial of confessed al-Qaeda conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui has a big decision to make what to do about a federal prosecutor who apparently coached a witness. She's called a hearing today at the court in Washington, and the government says the attorney in question could be in some big trouble.
The Justice Department says it's shocked at the attorney's behavior. Legal scholars say considerable damage may have been done to the government's case.
ABC's Pierre Thomas in Washington. Police in Iraq have found at least 75 bodies across Baghdad in the last 24 hours. The nation's new government is trying to stop the violence before the first parliament session, which is set for Thursday. There's now a ban on vehicles in the capital city until the session's over. There are more problems with the SAT.
SAT officials reportedly have discovered 1,600 exams given last October, which have not yet been graded. The New York Times says the exams had been set aside for so-called special processing for a number of reasons. Colleges, which were forced to reassess student entrance applications after the revelation last week that 4,000 SAT exams had been graded improperly, may have to reassess yet again. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The SAT, of course, used to determine where many students will go to college. This is ABC News.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card, and she filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
Marty is 50 years old, a tamper on the basketball court. He drives past his son, shoots, it's good!
Dad, stop using that voice.
Sorry.
Centrum Silver multivitamins keep up with your game. Centrum Silver's age-adjusted formula includes high levels of B vitamins, which emerging science suggests may help reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease.
His son shoots, scores!
I like that voice better.
Centrum Silver, adjusted for your age. Take with low saturated fat, low cholesterol diet. Research is ongoing and inconclusive, not intended to treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Well, you're probably filling out your brackets, but the NCAA men's basketball tournament actually begins today. ABC's Donna Renee has more on that old tradition, the office pool.
Even though Atlantic City is a gambling town, sports wagering is illegal. Still, mission worker David Schaefer says he's organizing a March Madness office pool, and win or lose, he'll be rolling in dough. Literally.
I usually bake cookies for the winner.
So you haven't ever lost any money at this?
No, never.
Just a lot of cookies.
Just a lot of cookies.
Schaefer says he's got a foolproof system for predicting the outcome of the tournament.
I always pick the Philly teams and I always lose.
Donald Renee, ABC News.
You know, it's an achievement. I'm really proud about it.
That's Ozzy Osbourne. We could actually understand him last night at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. He and his band, Black Sabbath, are now part of the hall. So are Blondie, Miles Davis, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and the Sex Pistols. But the punk rockers didn't show up. Instead, they sent a profanity-filled letter telling the hall why they didn't want to be in. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Ryansmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, after the weekend's deadly weather, Missouri is under a state emergency declaration. Governor Matt Blunt issued two executive orders yesterday, declaring a state of emergency and authorizing the National Guard to join the rescue efforts. Blunt and Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder toured storm-damaged areas yesterday, including Perry County, where two of the storm's nine victims died. The St. Louis Archdiocese is facing a wrongful death suit filed by the widow of a man who took his own life as a result of abuse he allegedly sustained by an area priest. David Clossy, the national director of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, says the man was allegedly abused by Father Romano Ferraro in the early 1980s.
This particular young man battled with depression all of his adult life, was not able to even disclose this until well into his 30s, and his psychologist has said that she believes very clearly that his suicide was related to the abuse itself.
The man had filed a civil lawsuit naming Ferraro prior to his death. Father Ferraro remains jailed in Massachusetts after being convicted of child rape and indecent assault. Two local civil lawsuits have been settled with victims of Father Ferraro. Finally this hour, drivers in St. Peter's are urged to use caution as restrictions go into place today on Spencer Road. Crews will start moving fill material across Spencer today for construction of the Lakeside 370 levee. The speed limit on Spencer between I-70 and Highway 370 will be lowered to 30 miles per hour during the work, and large metal plates will be placed across the road to prevent pavement damage. The work is expected to wrap up by June. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Drive into Sonic Tuesday nights for half-price burgers. That's right. Tuesday nights, get a classic Sonic burger for half the price from 5 p.m. until close. It's not just a good deal, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 70 at 270, there's an accident that's been cleared. Eastbound 70 at St. Charles Rock Road, there's a disabled vehicle blocking the left shoulder. Westbound 40 at Lindbergh, look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 at Richardson and 270 looks good as well. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44 look for stop and go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Woods Mill and Mason look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Forsyth, heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way in Mid Rivers Mall. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley. You've got slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Missouri Bank. Road construction right lane is closed and traffic is heavy back at the 5570 split. Westbound 5570 from Exchange to the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue to the 5570 split is starting to stack up as well. Northbound Route 3 from the 5570 split all the way onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic going on there. And in both directions, Skinker at Forest Park Parkway. Look for that to be closed due to Metrolink construction. Detours are posted. Hill at White Avenue. Look for a water main break. And there'll be restrictions going on there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, a high in the lower 50s. This evening, look forward to Partly cloudy skies with a low around 30. Wednesday, partly sunny, a high around 60. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of rain with a low around 40. Then on Thursday, look forward to mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 31, and the wind chill out there makes it feel like it's 22. So if you're heading out to the bus stop, please bundle up this morning and stay warm. Coming up next is more of the Wake Up Call, the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you say? Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. you need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And also, one thing that you can do, the Wake Up Call shows are archived every day at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, that's all right. You can go get your hour at whiterosesociety.org. Also check out lizbrown.com for some more information on our guests, on the issues that we talk about and the topics that we cover. Get to Liz Brown. That's lizzbrown.com. Lizz. That's two Z's in my name. Brown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. There are some. I was. Let me do it this way. I was watching Meet the Press on Sunday. I was watching Meet the Press and it was interesting. Biden, Senator Biden was on, and he's made it very clear that it is his intention to run for the Democratic nomination for president. And Tim Russert put up on the screen, Tim Russert, the host of Meet the Press, he put up on the screen a list of states that Joe Biden had been visiting on his soft drumbeat at this point to get attention for his quest to become the next president of the United States. And what was interesting, as you looked through the list of the states, there were about a dozen or so states listed. And when you paid attention and looked closely at the list, the thing that struck out in my mind was, I don't see Louisiana. I don't see Georgia. I don't see Alabama. I don't see these states that were hit with the 1-2 punch of Katrina and Rita. That's interesting. With Katrina, hundreds of thousands of people lost their homes, Americans. With Katrina, thousands of people have died. With Katrina, hundreds of children still don't know where their mommies and daddies are. And Tim Russert asked the question of Senator Biden. He must have been channeling Liz Brown at that moment, because he asked him the question that is the most obvious one in my mind. You haven't been down to the Gulf Coast area. What's up with that? And Senator Biden looked into the camera, and the most the clearest move of why you should not be president, he looked into the camera and stumbled and hemmed and he hawed. And he said, I didn't want it to be grandstanding. I'm going to be going there during my next break, huh? And so if the record is correct, you've been to Iraq more times than you've been to New Orleans. And of course the Republican wasn't any better. He hadn't been there either. So we're an amazing time, folks. There's so much that is going on with regard to the aftermath of Katrina. And we need to talk about the young people. We need to talk about the impact of this move of people being uprooted from their homes. And we need to talk about how this impacts on their future and their educational future. I have joining me this hour to talk about this Dr. Ruby Payne. She's joining us from Corpus Christi, Texas, and she wants to talk about the aftermath of Katrina. Dr. Ruby Payne, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing just great, and how are you?
I'm outstanding. Let's talk about Katrina. There's an article that has been written, Katrina's Aftermath May Offer Some Ray of Hope. Talk to us about that. How does that work? Is relocation can offer a chance to some of the victims? Talk to us, please.
Well, there's two issues with Hurricane Katrina. One is the amount of resources that people had in order to make it out. And a lot of resources are connected to social capital. One of the issues in poverty is that both generational poverty and old money are extremely isolating positions to be. Old money is isolated because of personal safety, okay? But poverty, generational poverty folks are isolated because of opportunity. And what happened is, if you didn't have resources, your ability to escape that situation quickly was not there for you. And then your ability to reestablish yourself is problematic also.
So what about the discussion about the absence of those resources in terms of poverty? Isn't the absence of those resources the reason for poverty?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And what happens is what we find is, you know the old adage about you need to raise yourself up by your bootstraps?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to have boots to do that. And boots are resources. And the thing is that there's all kinds of resources that people don't even recognize that make a difference. Like, let me give you one that happened in Katrina. Was your ability to read a road map. You see, poverty is a very sensory reactive world. You live in the nonverbals because they tell you someone's intent. So that's why you have a freeway shooting, because the way he was looking at me, you know. But the bottom line is that to negotiate middle class, et cetera, you have to live in this paper representational world, okay? And so like a road map's one of those. Well, Nagin said they didn't take those buses out because they didn't have enough drivers. But part of the problem is the way you learn a city bus route is you ride with somebody who already knows it. Okay, and the neighborhood I studied, the poverty neighborhood for 32 years, I taught so many people how to read a road map, because you don't need them. You don't have a car, you know. You're not going that very far anyway. You walk more. So just the ability to get out of that area.
Well, then I guess the same argument could be made for people in New York who, regardless of what their income is, or regardless of what their status is insofar as whether they're considered poor or middle class or wealthy, that's a transient population. That's a population that never has to have, they don't own cars. I can't imagine that they would be able to read a map any better than someone in Louisiana who rode the bus all of the time.
Actually, they are, because they travel internationally.
People in New York travel internationally?
Well, I know New York's the only place in the world to live, but the bottom line is that people in wealth tend to travel a lot more internationally.
Okay, but most people in New York are not wealthy. And most
correct.
People that ride the
you
bus.
You would have people in New York with the same problem.
Right, regardless of their income.
But that's an example of a resource.
Mm-hmm.
Another resource would be social capital. John Kenneth Galbraith, he was an American economist. He said Americans have always been consumed with the development of financial capital. Europeans have always been consumed with the development of social and human capital.
What does that mean?
Well, let me just say this. One of the New York Times did an article on two different people who made it out, who were in Katrina. One person made it out, and the other one didn't. made it out, i.e. in that they made it out of the city. The other one ended up in the Superdome. And part of the deal was social capital in this particular case, who they knew. Okay? There's two kinds, bonding and bridging. Bridging are people you know that are different than you, and bonding are people that you know like you. And so one of the things that happens, if everyone knows you know like you who has few resources, then it's going to be more difficult to transition out. And what I'll say is this. Americans, we don't have in our country a social network. See, periodically, right now, the disparity between the rich and the poor in America is big, okay? But it's been this way before. And every time the social contract gets renegotiated in some way, in other words, in the 1880s, it was the trade unions. 1910 was income tax. 1930 was WPA. 1950 was the GI Bill, gave housing and education. 1965-66 was the war on poverty. And so there's a whole lot of yada, yada, yada about how it's going to get renegotiated again. And every time it does, then it reallocates resources. And when you were talking about Senator Biden, see, part of the big debate right now in New Orleans is who's going to reallocate those resources.
Well, part of the debate is yes, the allocation of the resources. Part of the debate is the absence of the resources.
Yes.
And part of the debate is what's motivating the absence and the allocation of the resources. And the motivation component of it is the race issue. And the motivation component of it are the political desires and the political plans of individuals that don't even live in the New Orleans area or in the state of Louisiana. Those are all factors that are going into how the resources are going to be, whether they're going to come and who they're going to go to. And race will have an impact on that, doesn't it?
I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider myself an expert in race matters.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot more with class. But I would think that's definitely an equation.
Okay.
In this situation.
Dr. Pena, I need to understand the discussion of class. Without the how can we have a discussion of class without really having a discussion of race and racism? Can we do that?
Sure.
Okay, tell me how.
Let me tell you how we do it. Well, first of all, I do work in Australia, in India, in New Zealand, in Canada, and in China. And no matter where you go, if you think of about a person as being this rich piece of fabric, they have thread or threads that came from their race, from their religion, from the region of the country they grew up in. These would be vertical threads, you know. But then there are cross-cultural threads, like aging. Certain things happen to you when you age, no matter who you are. Like gender, like poverty, middle class, wealth. And what I do in my work is I just tease out a few threads. Threads around class. It is not meant to be definitive,
mm-hmm.
and they overweave and interweave. But like, for example, when I'm in West Virginia, the race that's equated with poverty is white. When I'm in New Mexico, the races that are equated with poverty are Native American, Indian, and Hispanic. When I'm in Georgia, it's African American. When I'm in South Texas, it's Hispanic. When I'm in California, it's everybody. But the bottom line is that class can be separate, talked about separately from race. And when you're in Tasmania, Australia, it's poor whites. When you're in Western Australia, it's Aborigines.
If we talk about the causes of poverty, I mean, I guess the from what I'm understanding of read after reading your book, that the things that you talk about that are the causes of poverty, things like parental employment, things like status, things like earnings and family structures, and parental education, those, from what I've also read, that those don't, those aren't things that cause poverty. They're the things that impact poverty. And if we're going to talk about class, and class is an outcome out of or a condition next to new poverty that includes poverty, we really need to talk about the things that cause poverty. And if we're going to talk about the things that cause poverty, racism is one of the factors that causes poverty.
There are four major one of the problems that happened with my book is that my book was written for educators to help them address the situation in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
In the larger frame, there are four major research bases around the cause of poverty, okay? And the issue is that, well, we've been working with legislatures, and what we say to legislatures is if you only address one cause of poverty, then your legislative policies don't work. And the basic four major causes are in the four major research bases are A, that poverty is caused by the choices of the individual. For example.
Okay, and I need you to hold that thought because we have to take a break.
Okay.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back after this. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by America's Drive-In Sonic. Eastbound 70 at St. Charles Rock Road, disabled vehicle, left shoulder is blocked. Westbound 40 between Boone Bridge and 94, there's a vehicle on fire, report of a trash truck on fire. Southbound 61 and 70, look for bridge maintenance operations, having the roadway reduced to one lane, there's about a mile backup. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and 270, look for slow traffic as well. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, stop and go. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Mason, look for very heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, heavy volume going on. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to Mid Rivers Mall, look for slow traffic in pocket. Eastbound 40 from 270 to Hanley, you've got heavy volume going on. Eastbound 70 from 79, look for an accident. It's off the roadway, but there may be some delays because of the accident. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Marshall to Manchester, slow traffic in pockets. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, there's road construction, right lane is closed, and traffic is heavy back to the 5570 split. Westbound 5570 split from Illinois 203 all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the 5570 split, look for slow traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3, those approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for no problems to report. The Eads Bridge is backed up onto the Missouri Bank, and in both directions, Skinker at Forest Park Parkway, look for that to be closed due to Metrolink construction. Detours are posted, so use caution as you roll up to that intersection. Hill and White, look for a water main break. Expect restrictions as in Brentwood. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Drive into Sonic Tuesday nights for half-price burgers. That's right. Tuesday night, get a classic Sonic burger for half the price from 5 p.m. till close. It's not just a good deal. It's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday, for today, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 50s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Wednesday, partly sunny, a high around 60. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, low around 40. There's a chance for rain Wednesday evening. And on Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have very clear skies. And the temperature right now outside is 31 degrees. The wind chill out there makes it feel like it's 21. So if you're heading to the bus stop, bundle up. Lambert Field is reporting 8:31 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29, 2006. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen.
Listen, folks, it's tax time, it's tax time, it's tax time. Where are you going to go? Richard Smith Tax Services. That's right, at 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 113A. That's 113A. Instant loans, quick refunds, and here's the best part. You can cash your check right there. That's right, at Richard Smith Tax Service. Honest, dependable, expert, respectful, and there's a written warranty. Look, Richard Smith has been doing taxes forever, long before the other fly-by-night folks got here. So you need to get on down to 1408 North Kings Highway, get your instant loan, your quick refunds, and best of all, you can cash your check right there at Richard Smith's Tax Service, 1408 North Kings Highway. Here's the phone number, 367-1282, 367-1282, 367-1282, Richard Smith's Tax Service. Get them done and get them done right.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Every heart, there is a drum that steady and strong. It does not know defeat. I feel it out and know the sound of truth. In every soul there is a memory, a standing tall, the proudest we could be. I cannot.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This is, like I said, the Wake Up Call. I'm living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to toll free long distance to me, that's 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, the show is streamed. That's right, streamed at WGNU.net or LizBrown.com. And also, the wake up call is archived every single day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, go get your hour. We have much to talk about. This morning I'm talking to Dr. Ruby Payne. She's joining us from Corpus Christi, Texas, and we're talking about understanding poverty. Welcome back. And Ruby?
Yes.
Okay, welcome back. You were talking about the causes of poverty?
Yes, there's four major research bases. One is the choices of the individual. So, like, for example, you read about somebody who's made hourly wage all their life, saved their money, put newspaper in the bottom of their shoes, and give a couple $1 million at the end of their life to a university. The second major research base is that the resources of the community. So, in other words, you can get all dressed up and make the right choices, but if there are no jobs for you, you're poor. The third major research base is exploitation. And racism is in exploitation. It's things like racism, sexism, the drug trade, the sex trade. And the fourth research base has to do with political and economic structures. For example, when banks redline districts and won't give loans. Now, what happens in social policy when you take one research base and not the other, then the interventions don't work and then people are mad. All four of those contribute to poverty. And
I'd like to talk about
sure.
a choice for just a second, that people choose, make bad choices and end up in poverty. What kind of numbers do we have to support this? Because when we hear about the person that, the one person who stuck newspapers in their shoes and somehow was able to give a whole lot of money to a university, surely those are the if you open up the dictionary and looked at exception to the rule, their photographs would be in that. What are the numbers of the people that make it out of poverty but like that? Do we have
places
any
like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, when you go, it's very difficult to get numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen numbers. First of all, if you go on internet right now, you'll see numbers that say poverty is increasing, and you'll see numbers that say it's decreasing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't even count our own votes. So. But the bottom line is that there's research I've seen to indicate that many people do not live in the class they were raised in. And so I want to go back to your original. So that the answer to your question is there's lots of numbers about people who make bad choices in this way. You saw it in Katrina. I mean, it was on the news for days about people who got their $2,000 debit card, okay, and went to the gallery and bought an $800 purse, et cetera, except somebody else went to a titty bar, you know. Those are individual choices.
But again, that's why I was asking you about the numbers of people. We have a legislator, a Republican, that's going to jail because Duke Cunningham, because he had wealth and he had money and he made bad choices. Do we make the argument that everybody is corrupt like that, or do we make the argument that most people are corrupt like that? Of course not. There are going to be people that take advantage of the system every single day, whether they have money and whether they don't. In fact, I know more stories of people who have money who've taken advantage of the system than I do of poor people that take advantage of the system. So, again, I guess what I'm asking for is some kind of place to go to see the numbers that support that choice really has any kind, that it's any kind of significant number of people who are making choices, as opposed to resources not being made, being there, as opposed to exploitation factors, and as opposed to political and economic decisions that they are not a part of that are being made at their expense and despite them. I mean, it's just, I hear in comments, I hear in theories like that, that when examples are used of people that squandered a $2,000 check, I hear the same welfare mother driving a Cadillac story that was used to beat up on poor people by Ronald Reagan. The numbers really don't support that, do they?
Have you ever lived in Section 8 housing?
No, I have not.
Have you ever worked with poor children?
Yes, I have.
All right, I would tell you that I'm not talking about systemic things right now. I'm not saying it doesn't happen in wealth. Mm-hmm. I'm saying the research base says that individual choices, regardless of whether you're poor or wealthy, are in part determined by individual choices, period.
But we're talking about poverty. So what we're discussing right now, if I'm understanding this right, we're talking about poverty and choices people make that make them end up in poverty.
Okay, let me say it another way. There are four major research bases around class.
Mm-hmm.
The choices of the individual, the resources in the community, systemic issues and exploitation issues. And those
and political
bases,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, those researchers' bases apply to both wealth and poverty.
All right, and so we're talking about poverty.
Right.
And we're talking one of the four, a choice.
Right.
And I'm asking for...
I do not have numbers, but I will tell you from 32 years of studying several neighborhoods, it is a significant factor. It is not the only factor.
Well, then I guess... If it is,
but I don't have an exact number. I cannot tell you 8 out of 10 people make bad choices in poverty.
Well, can anybody
tell
us?
You 7 out of 10 in middle class do that? I'm saying it's one of the causes.
And can anybody give us the numbers?
No. Because one of the things is that one of the problems right now is that my work is being criticized by people at the university level. Because they're saying you cannot separate out class and race.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that it's totally systemic. It's totally based on exploitation.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you example after example after example where it's not that clean and it's not that simple.
But I guess if you're looking at it from a proof point and we're looking at it from an expert point, we would have to look at it whether your examples are merely anecdotal or are there any studies that support your examples.
Well, there are lots of studies. Oscar Lewis was one. He did a lot of research. And see, the problem is simply this, that his research... Let me back up and say a larger frame right now. At the university level, you cannot publish unless you have clean methodology.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to study people for two reasons. One, we don't have good methodologies for the ecologies of social systems. And number two, you can't researchers get their funding based on a 1 or 2 year project. Well, if you really want to truly study a poverty neighborhood or a wealthy neighborhood, 2 years isn't going to give you that much data. You need to get in there and live with it and know about it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My research is a 32-year case study. Nobody at the university has a study like that, all right? They want to criticize it because it does not have, quote-unquote, clean methodology because I used mixed methodology,
mm-hmm.
And they want to criticize it. Because it looks at patterns, and they say you can't look at patterns. Well, you can.
Well, I don't think that the university is saying you can't look at patterns. They're saying that the manner in which you're looking at these patterns doesn't have the methodology to support them.
That's their argument.
Uh-huh.
And I don't agree with it.
Okay, and we have to take a break. I'm talking to Dr. Ruby Payne. She's joining us from Corpus Christi, Texas. And I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
Down by the river. Taking off my shoes, jumping in the water, washing away these blues. Now into the ocean, current takes hold. Words already been spoken, tales already been told, hearts already been broken, wounds already been healed.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Fort Meade, Maryland. Court-martial proceedings have begun against an Army sergeant accused of using his police dog to harass and threaten Abu Ghraib inmates as part of the prison scandal that came out in 2003 and 2004. 24-year-old Michael Smith is accused of using his dog to terrorize prisoners and to make them urinate and defecate on themselves and even make fun of them by referring to their squirming as a doggy dance. Some of the photos that came out showed dogs barking and growling at the inmates. He's also accused of indecent acts for having his dog lick peanut butter off a male soldier's penis and a female soldier's breasts. Using an unmuzzled dog to intimidate detainees is a violation of the Geneva Convention. Also scheduled to testify in the trial is Army Colonel Thomas Pappas, the former top intelligence officer at the Abu Ghraib prison. He's already been reprimanded and fined for dereliction of duty and was the person who authorized using dogs for interrogation without getting approval from senior commanders. And Dateline Washington. Retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor gave a speech yesterday at Georgetown University. She gave an ominous warning that the country is in danger of becoming a dictatorship if the extremists in the right wing continue to attack the judicial branch. O'Connor said the repeated demeaning of the court system by Republican leaders over the issue of liberal bias may very well create a climate for okaying violent acts against judges. She pointed out the warning that Tom DeLay gave to the judiciary over the Terry Schiavo case when he said, quote, "The time will come for the men responsible for this to answer for their behavior," unquote. DeLay later went on to call for the impeachment of judges who were involved in the Schiavo case and described the justice system as arrogant and out of control. O'Connor said such threats pose a direct threat to the people's constitutional freedom, and she told the law students in the audience that they have an obligation to speak up against such rhetoric. She concluded by saying that if the courts did not make politicians mad from time to time, they would not be doing their jobs. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
After saving the world, a super family like The Incredibles needs a super vacation. And Disney on Ice has it with their new show. Disney presents Pixar's The Incredibles in a Magic Kingdom Adventure. Join Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, Violet, Dash, and Jack-Jack as they meet Mickey and Minnie and enjoy the Magic Kingdom's most popular attractions brought to life on ice for the very first time. See them rocket through Space Mountain. The ghostly thrills of the Haunted Mansion. Whirl around the Mad Tea Party. And when Syndrome shows up to spoil the fun, the Incredibles blast into action. And every child at the show gets a free Incrediband to help save the day. Come share this Disney on Ice adventure with your super family.
Playing March 15th through the 19th at Savas Center. Get your tickets today at all Ticketmaster outlets or online at DisneyOnIce.com.
This message is only for business owners and managers. How would you like to be able to increase your sales anytime you want it? Need to do a new advertising campaign, but first you need some extra business to pay for it? You want to make improvements to your store, but first you need some extra business to pay for it? You want to take that needed vacation, but first you need some extra business to pay for it? What you need is ITEX, I-T-E-X, the International Trade Exchange. With ITEX, you'll get new customers who will go out of their way to do business with you. The ITEX network works like a nationwide sales force to increase your sales and reduce cash expenses to improve your bottom line profits. So join the other smart business owners right here in St. Louis who have already found out how to increase their business and improve not only their bottom line, but also their quality of life. Contact Herb Steck at your local ITEX office to see how much new business you can get and how much cash you can save. Call 636-441-8930. Remember that number, 636-441-8930. With ITEX, you and your business can trade for a better life.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Yeah. 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 Oh. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, living my life as an African Nigerian, to be specific, and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. I have joining me this morning from Corpus Christi, Texas, Dr. Ruby Payne. And Dr. Payne, welcome back.
Yes.
I have a few people that will have a few questions for you. Let me get to some of our callers here. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. James, do you have a question for Dr. Ruby Payne?
Yes, I do. Liz, Dr. Payne, I just wanted to ask a very quick question. You gave, as an example, redlining as a characteristic not conducive to race. I've worked in the housing industry, and I find that most people that are redlined specifically on the reason of race. I wanted to make another quick comment. You made the comment about bad choices. The person that perhaps saved $1 million or a large sum of money, they've lived in abject poverty to save that money, but if you're a person who is responsible for a head of household, you won't be able to make those kind of choices if you're making a minimum wage at McDonnell Douglas restaurant. And thirdly, the paradigm that you use, most people that are born into poverty will remain in poverty because of conditions of race. And finally, I agree with the criticism because your paradigm does not take into consideration that white privilege, if I'm born a white person, my net worth is going to be unearned because my parents have been able to amass more wealth. So poverty has a great deal to do with race and not necessarily the conditions that you've given an example. Thank you.
Dr. Payne, would you like to respond?
No, okay. I wouldn't.
Okay, let me get to some other callers here. Christine.
Yes, I'd like to ask your guest, how do you rank African Americans in the order of class? I just don't understand. Maybe you could explain that to me. Thank you.
Dr. Payne?
I don't rank them in class.
Okay. Let me get to another caller here. Alfred.
Yes. You're talking about bad choices. Now, if I would buy a lottery ticket and I would win, then I'd lift myself out of the poverty. If I lose, then you say I made a bad choice because I'm gambling. But the way people are in poverty is because they couldn't accumulate money. When you don't have money, you're in poverty, period. All these explanations you're talking about, that don't mean anything. I don't care. You look at the people that finished high school with you. All y'all was on the same level. Some people just cannot accumulate and receive a good job to get themselves above poverty. People could be raised with money, but when they get in the workforce, if they can't get a good job to accumulate money, they will go into poverty. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Dr. Payne, I imagine that some of the comments that you're hearing today are similar to the types of comments that we're hearing from the world of academia when they look at some of your studies. Do you hear a lot of this?
Actually, no. And I, you know what, I don't hear that kind of thing because what I hear is the people who actually work with students in poverty and the people who are in the social service, they find the work really helpful. What I find is people who are academics have very little exposure. They have to the real world, the messy world of class. And I find that they're not, that when I've had one-on-one discussions with them, it boils down to the same thing every time. They're mad because my book is selling and theirs is not. That's twice now it's boiled down to that. So I have to say to you, it's very difficult for me to take them seriously. I appreciate this show. I need to go now. And lots of people tell me every day how helpful it was for them and made a difference for them. I think everyone needs to have their own opinion.
All righty then. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. This is Liz Brown, and this is the wake-up call. We're going to wrap it up now. 454-0400 is my phone number. I know you all want to get to me. I know you all want to get to me. You can do it next hour. I'll be back. Stay with me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. Begin to
That again, we may have lost the only opportunity that was really left for us to have some justice.
Sally Regenhardt lost her son on 9/11. She was following the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui, the only person charged in connection with the attacks. But now that trial could take a real turn. A federal prosecutor is accused of coaching witnesses, and Judge Leonie Brinkema has called for a hearing this morning.
Judge Brinkema has a number of options, including removing the witnesses whose testimony represent half of the government's case, allowing the case to move forward, but revealing to the jury the misconduct, dismissing the death penalty, which could mean Zacharias Moussaoui would serve life in prison without parole.
ABC's Pierre Thomas in Washington. Sirens and gunshots today in Gaza. Armed Palestinians stormed the British Council building. They're angry that the U.S. and Britain will no longer supervise a prison in Jericho. Today, Israelis surrounded that prison. They demanded that Aziz Dueck be turned over to them. He's believed to have planned the assassination of an Israeli cabinet minister. No way, says Dueck.
The Americans and the British governments are giving a blind eye to the Israeli practices, and they are giving the green light to the Israelis to commit more and more aggressions against our basic human rights.
Witnesses also say Palestinians captured a Red Cross worker in Gaza. There are more killings in Baghdad. At least 85 bodies have been found in the last 24 hours, and they come at an important time for the new government.
The new parliament that was elected way back in December is going to sit for the first time on Thursday. Now, that is a step forward, but bear in mind that despite the fact that we're 3 months on since those elections, no national unity government has been formed. And U.S. officials say that the longer there is a power vacuum, the more ammunition that gives to those who would foment a civil war between the Shiites and the Sunnis.
ABC's Dan Harris in Baghdad. This is ABC News.
This is a test of your cell phone. Does it look at you openly, answer you honestly? Or is it full of nasty surprises at bill time? Does it gloat because you're under contract? Maybe it's time for something new. Something clear, simple, and uncomplicated. Net10. At Net10, there's no contract, no commitment, and one low rate. Just 10 cents a minute, anytime, anywhere in the country. We're so sure you'll fall in love with Net10. We'll give you 300 minutes free, a $30 value when you activate your Net10 phone. So get to your nearest Target and partner with a phone you can trust.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
This week, ABC News is taking an in-depth look at bird flu. Here's Jim Hickey.
Mike Leavitt is pretty sure bird flu is coming to American shores.
It's almost inevitable.
The Secretary of Health and Human Services believes the virus will begin to show up in both wild and domestic birds in the U.S.
That will not be a crisis.
It will be a crisis, he says, if the rapidly mutating virus makes the leap to humans.
When it is able to transmit from person to person to person.
There is no certainty that will happen, but Leavitt insists we must all prepare.
It requires that every community, every city, every county, every tribe have a plan.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
We are not coming. We're not your monkeys. And so what?
Rolling Stone publisher Jan Wenner reading a letter from the Sex Pistols at last night's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Yenner said the group could pick up their trophies anytime they want at the hall in Cleveland, and if they choose, they could smash them to bits. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, police are investigating a fatal shooting in North St. Louis. An unidentified man was shot yesterday afternoon in the 6300 block of Garrishy and died a short time later. No arrests have been made. A small manufacturing company is expected to nearly double its employee base as a result of an Army contract. St. Louis-based LaBarge Company has been awarded a $9 million contract to supply the U.S. Army with their assault hose line system. Missouri Senator Kit Bond says this system is very important to the Army.
You can think of how devastating an attack on a hose line transferring that much fuel could be. And that's why getting the hose out, getting it there safely, and being able to supply the fuel and retrieve the hose is so important.
The system is able to transfer nearly 500,000 gallons of fuel a day to supply the needs of soldiers, as opposed to the previous standard of about 200,000 gallons. Army officials say the system can be put in place and picked back up in 2 days' time. The LaBarge company, which has 65 employees, is expected to hire an additional 50 workers. Finally this hour, Chris Carpenter pitched four scoreless innings, allowing just a pair of singles, as the Cardinals beat the Atlanta Braves 9-0 yesterday. Carpenter struck out three in pitching his third strong outing of the spring. He also added two RBIs at the plate. Chris Duncan ripped two doubles and a home run for the Redbirds, who even their Grapefruit League record at 6-6. Scott Spezio had a two-hit, four RBI afternoon for the Cards. The Birds and Yankees square off today. Sidney Ponson is slated to start for the Cardinals, and Randy Johnson is scheduled to take the mound for New York. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of proceeds supports health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-Ins. Westbound 70 at Goodfellow, there's a disabled vehicle partially blocking an exit ramp. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Mid Rivers Mall, Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic as well. Northbound 270 at 55 and Big Bend is stop and go. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Mason, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound Bell Fountain, or westbound 270 at Bell Fountain, look for that to be heavy all the way through West Florissant this morning. Eastbound 40 from 270 to Big Bend, you can expect heavy volume going on there. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley is slow. Southbound 270 between Big Bend and 44, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Missouri Bank, look for right lane closed due to construction, and traffic is backed up all the way through the 5570 split. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue to the 5570 split looks good, and northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Those approaches on the ramps, you can expect slow traffic, as well as the Eads Bridge is backed up all the way through the Illinois Bank. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-Ins. Drive into Sonic Tuesday nights for half-price burgers. That's right. Tuesday nights, get a classic Sonic burger for half the price from 5 p.m. till close. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny, high in the lower 50s today. Partly cloudy, low around 30 for this evening. Wednesday, partly sunny, high near 60. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, low around 40. And Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 31 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 32, both under clear skies. Wind chill outside, however, makes it feel like it's 21, so don't let that deceive you. If you're going out to the bus stop, bundle up this morning. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not ask for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal freedom.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Oh, my. Benzene in the soda. Oh, my. I don't know. We are living in remarkable, remarkable times. I was up just last week that our federal government that says that it believes in, it advocates for, it's all about, put us into office because we believe in states' rights. Our good government just last week told states, you know what? You cannot require food manufacturers to put information on their labels that the federal government doesn't require. You can't do more than what the federal government does, huh? Huh? Does that make us safer or less safe? And what about this whole concept of states' rights things, huh? I get it. States' rights unless it gets in the way of the almighty dollar, huh? So if you have a good government that is busy about the business of dismantling states' rights, the right to label their food, require manufacturers to label food as they see fit, huh, you're going to love this. Yeah, how protected, how much protection do you think you'll receive from your government now that these reports of benzene in soft drinks coming out? We need to talk about that. Is this serious? Is this meaningful? Is this dangerous? Should we be concerned? Well, let's have that discussion. And to facilitate that discussion, we have Dr. Tim Kropp, toxicologist with the Environmental Working Group. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Dr. Tim Kropp, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Oh, my. Benzene in soft drinks.
Yeah, it's quite surprising, but it's been in there. It's been in there for at least about 15 years, and the FDA's known about it, and industry's known about it, but they've decided not to tell anybody. So the public's just finding out about it now.
Well, how do they get to decide not to tell us that?
Well, that'd be a question you'd have to ask them, but it's clearly inappropriate. They knew that if two ingredients, one is ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C, and the other one is a benzoate, either potassium benzoate and sodium benzoate. If those two are in combination in a drink, then it has the potential to form benzene, and they found this out in about 1990, and they met with industry, and they said, you know what, you guys go, you know, work out on your own and go figure it out, and they never checked up on them. They never told the public. So it's really not that surprising that nothing was ever done.
What is benzene?
So benzene is a known human carcinogen. Mm. It causes leukemia at the lowest levels that we're concerned about. It is an ingredient in things like gasoline, but it should never be in food, obviously. I mean, people don't want known human carcinogens in food. And this is clearly an incident where the FDA should be doing more, not less, and it's clearly inappropriate to take away the state's ability to make decisions on what's harmful if they want something above and beyond what the federal government is doing, especially when what the federal government is doing is clearly inadequate.
And when we're talking about benzene in soft drinks, how much benzene are we talking about?
Well, it varies,
okay.
And the FDA hasn't released the data on which drinks have how much, but we know that some drinks have come to have benzene that's over four times the federal limit for drinking water, which is 5 parts per billion. Now, there is no standard for soda, so you could put as much in as you want, and it's not illegal, but if 5 parts per billion were found in drinking water, the public utilities would have to fix it right away, and they would have to tell people through radio, through television, and through newspaper what was going on. But since it's in soda, the FDA is not doing anything.
And how can that be? I mean, is there a law that says, a regulation that says that water has to report, and then no regulation that says that soda has to report? And why isn't there a regulation that says that any time you have benzene in any kind of food product, you have to report?
There should be, but there isn't. mainly because the laws regarding all these different products are under so many different agencies. The standard for water is set by the EPA. It's not set by the FDA. And the FDA has sort of transferred that limit to bottled water, but not to sodas. And the thing is that, you know, the benzene, it doesn't matter if it's coming from soda, if it's coming from water, your body's not going to make, you know,
that
or distinguish between
yeah.
the two.
Mm.
So, you know, we need a standard for both of them.
Well, shouldn't there just be a rule, if any carcinogen is in any food product, the company must report?
Well, that would make sense. I mean, that would make sense. I think that what this shows, though, is that, you know, the soft drink manufacturers have a lot more power to get what they want, as opposed to, you know, public utilities that are providing you water. I mean, they want to provide you the safest water. But the food companies, they just, you know, they look at the bottom line.
And you said a few seconds ago that we don't know how much benzene is in which soda. Will we ever find out? Is a list forthcoming?
Testing is being done. We are asking the FDA to make those lists public so that, you know, people can know. One easy thing that consumers can do is, we're fortunate that we know the combination to look for. So if you look on the ingredients in a fruit drink or a soda, and it says, if you find the word benzoate, and if you also find either vitamin C or ascorbic acid, then you can choose something else. And there's many products out there that don't have this combination. And, you know, they're safe by themselves, so if you only see one, that's not a problem. But
so,
if you see both, you can do something else.
So when we say soft drinks, we're not just talking about Pepsi and Coke.
No, we're talking about all kinds of drinks and fruit drinks. Drinks like Sunny D have this combination in them.
Mm.
Drinks like Hi-C have this combination in them. And if you look at a lot of, you know, the sort of fruit drinks like Sunny D and Hi-C, these are being marketed directly towards kids.
Mm.
And we're living in a time where kids are drinking more and more fruit drinks and soda.
In fact, the soda industry got a drop in their business last year because so many people are switching to these high-energy drinks and water.
Right. And, you know, it's good that they're switching to water, but some of these fruit drinks and some of these energy drinks have this combination, and that's very problematic.
How did we discover is this something that we discovered in the United States that benzene was in the sodas, or was it discovered someplace else?
Well, in 1990, it was the FDA that discovered it.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, they sort of made a backroom deal that they didn't make public and allowed industry to do it voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, what happened was that a whistleblower from one of the food industries told the FDA and provided some tests to show that the drinks weren't cleaned up yet. And it's those specific it's that specific data that the FDA is not making public. But it took a whistleblower to get the agency that's supposed to protect our public health to do something.
And it's not just what's happening here in the United States. Other countries are struggling with this as well?
Yes. After this information has come out, both Britain and Germany have started testing programs to see if they are having the same problem. So, you know, they're moving ahead on that. The FDA says they're testing, but given their track record and given the fact that they say they won't make anything public, I'm a little bit skeptical as to whether that's going to affect change, because it didn't work 15 years ago. I'm not sure how a private settlement is going to work now.
Well, Congress has the ability to influence or impact on the FDA. What's Congress doing about this? Are they weighing in on this?
Well, Congress, well, at least the House, is doing something that's exactly the opposite, which is stripping the states of the ability to regulate food products as they see fit. And there are many states that look at these types of situations and say that, you know what, the FDA is not looking out for our citizens, and we're going to have to pick up some of the slack. And they're trying to pass this bill, and it has passed in the House, and it hasn't been up in the Senate yet, that would say that you can't do anything unless the federal government has done it first.
And what's really horrifying are for people like myself out here that like organic foods and seek organic foods, there are standards in California there are the creation of standards in California that caused a ripple effect, and other people had to keep up with what they were doing, other food manufacturers. But they have standards that the federal government doesn't have, so that's going to have an impact on the entire organic industry.
Right. As you mentioned, I mean, there are some states that are very progressive in these ways, and California is one of them. But it doesn't just affect Californians, because the changes that the food industry has to make to abide by those laws really affect everyone everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
so California raises the bar for all of us.
Yes. So, I mean, we can look for the standards that they set in our foods if we so choose. And basically, they're taking the choice away from us. And also by not telling us about these issues with benzene and what to look out for and not saying anything about it, the government's really just treating us like children, like we can't understand risk, and we can't understand that we'd rather give our child, a drink without benzene, mm-hmm. Which I think anyone can understand.
Mm. So Congress said, yeah, let's change the rules. What was that vote like?
It passed. There were some Democrats that ended up siding with industry, and there's some Republicans that sided with the consumers, but it hasn't passed the Senate yet, and hopefully it doesn't, because this would be a real problem for citizens that want to make good choices and want to make healthy decisions.
So in terms of where we stand on the benzene in soda, where is the FDA on this, and what kind of time frame can people look or expect to hear anything, or should they look or expect to hear anything?
Well, the FDA said they're testing, but they're not making any information public.
Mm-hmm.
They will only talk about it if you sort of go to them and ask them about it. So I'm not really confident at this point that anything will be given to the citizens, which is why there needs to be an open airing of that information, and we're going to continue to press for that.
And there's a website that you would like to direct people to?
Yes, our website is www.ewg.org.
And let me get to a caller or two here. Edward, you have a question for Dr. Tim Kropp.
Yes, it's pertaining to the water. According to the Wellness Center, there's a little triangle at the bottom of most water bottles that has a number on it. And they say if that number is below 4, that the plastic that the water's in is poison. Is that true?
It's the standards for bottled water are a little more lax than for drinking water, but it doesn't always mean that it's better or worse. I would say as a general rule, bottled water is generally safe. It's not problematic. I think the things we're looking at here are mainly problems with soda and fruit drinks, and I think the more water that people are drinking from whatever source is a good thing. We need to make sure that we have clean and healthy water, but for the most part, those are good sources of water.
Yes, you have a question for Dr. Tim Kropp.
Good morning, number one. I respect you. Good morning to you, guest. I wanted to ask him, are there any benefits then to drinking perhaps Gatorade, because there's different fruit flavors in that, and also club soda, and I'll hang up and listen to you.
Does club soda have the benzene problem, or Gatorade? Does that have the benzene problem?
I don't believe they do. I know that club soda would not. But one thing that's really easy for people to do is, again, they can just look at the label themselves and see if they see the word benzoate, and if they see the word ascorbic acid or vitamin C, then they can choose something else. We actually have a list of drinks that we found the combination of chemicals in on our website. So that's another place that people can check to see which brands you might want to stay away from.
Very good. And Dr. Kropp, what is your website one more time, please?
It's ewg.org.
And if people don't have access to the net, is there a phone number they can call to maybe get a listing or something?
Actually, if they could somehow get to a website, most of our information is web-based. They could probably get it at a library or something like that, but that would be the best way.
Very good. Dr. Tim Kropp, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. 454-0400 is my phone number, folks. This is Liz Brown. Don't forget, in the next break, of course, you will have the golden opportunity to be the third caller for the end of the week Liz Brown wake-up call because we care package. We have wonderful items in them. We have books. We have magnets. We have water bottles. We have a George Bush doesn't care about black folks t-shirt. That's my gift to you all. So you need to listen for the sounder, and the sounder will let you know that it is time to try and be the third caller. And we will be pulling a name or two or three out of the hat on Friday at 9:45. You might want to listen in on Friday to see if you hear your name being called, because it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift. So get ready, folks. Get ready. And when I come back after this break, I will be waiting to hear your calls and comments here at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU or 454-0400. Get to me. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Take a look at your traffic right now. Westbound 70 at Goodfellow, there's a disabled vehicle partially blocking the exit ramp. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic reported there. Northbound 55 from Richardson to 270, everything's on the move. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, it is stop and go. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor all the way to Mason Road, look for heavy volume. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain to West Forson, look for heavy traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and Mid Rivers Mall, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Hanley, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Southbound 270 from Big Bend all the way into 44 to look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Missouri Bank, the right lane is closed due to construction and traffic is heavy all the way at the 5570 split. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 at Powell Avenue and the 5570 split, look for slow traffic there as well. The Eads Bridge is backed up through mid-span this hour in both directions. Skinker at Forest Park Parkway is closed to the Metrolink. Construction detours are posted. And northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the ramps of the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect slow traffic, but everything should be on the move by now. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase 4 tires from any of your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealers and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Mostly sunny, high in the lower 50s today, partly cloudy with a low around 30 this evening. Partly sunny, high near 60 this evening. Or on Wednesday, I'm sorry. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 40. Then on Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny by the afternoon, a high in the mid-50s. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies. We have 32 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 33, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 23, so bundle up if you're heading out to the bus stop. That's a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof, but beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
In today's world, all we need for light is the flick of a switch. But what did the pioneers do? Learn about candle making at the Rockwoods Reservation in Wildwood on Wednesday, March 22nd from 10 to noon. Learn how early Americans utilized animals in this skill, and how the art has changed today. Each participant will make and take home a candle. Call 636-458-2236 to find out more. News to light up your life from WGNU.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Speechless, that's how you make me feel. Though I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel. So silently I pray. Helpless and hopeless, that's how I feel inside. Nothing's real, but all is possible if God is on my side. When I'm with you, I'm in the light.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. 454-0400 is the phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz, how are you this morning?
I am outstanding.
All righty. I have a couple questions and a couple comments about the 7:30 to 8 o'clock guest that you had. First off, now, I have to admit, I came in, you know, I guess about 7:45 and was hearing some really crazy stuff coming out of this woman's mouth. But one question I have is, what was her background? Was she a scientist? She obviously wasn't in the academic world because she was pretty much just dogging any academic out. Where did she get her background from? I mean, did she come from an impoverished environment and she dug her way out? What was her take on this? I didn't quite get that.
None of those things.
So she was somebody that was middle class, upper middle class, affluent, something of that sort.
That is correct.
Okay, so really then the bottom line, and obviously she couldn't. I'm just kind of taken aback because the thing she was saying, was just so crazy. It's like, wait a minute now. If you're not a scientist, if you're not an academic, now, of course, everyone has the opportunity and has the sense to make their own observations. But to say that You know, well, they, because they said that my stuff wasn't done in a, you know, a clinical fashion. It's like, well, lady, the way you're talking, it just sounds like you just dreamt something up and trying to sell some books. And she proved herself to be a player hater when she made that comment, you know, after the couple callers called in. And you could tell, I could tell in the tone of her voice that she did not believe a word anyone was saying. She was very apprehensive and very, I mean,
I think all you ask somebody to do is to defend yourself.
Right.
And to defend your position, or to defend something that you've been, say that you've been working on for 32 years. Surely you have a response to that. And the fact that you didn't speaks volumes.
Oh, my God. She was something else.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, that was great.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Rochelle?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm calling because I'm a parent. My child attends one of the schools at St. Louis Public Schools. And Sodexo has not supplied any of the school districts with paper towels, soap, or toilet paper.
Sodexo is a crummy company. It's an amazing, amazing thing that I am not surprised. You are not the first person to call and talk about how nasty the schools are since Sodexo has taken them over. That's why this, Rochelle, and I'm sure I'm telling you something that you don't know, but I would like to inspire you or to encourage you to go out and make sure that on election day that you grab 5 or 6 people and you march them into this polls, because this election will determine whether we can get rid of Sodexo. And whether we can get rid of Aramark, and whether we can get rid of Slay's influence on this board.
Okay.
You have to vote in this election. You're registered, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, please, if you don't do anything at all next month, you have to vote in the April 4th election, and you have to vote for 2 people, and you have to get rid of this board. You have to.
I agree.
That's why your baby school is so nasty and dirty, because Sodexo was in there. Sodexo has been cited on college campus after college campus. It's been cited in prison after prison. Almost every place it goes, it fouls it up. And that's why this election is so critical, Rochelle. It's been bad before, but this will lock the door, throw away the key. You might as well tell your kids that you're not going to be educated if this school board is reelected. It's critical. It's critical, Rochelle. I'm telling you, go get you some yard signs. Tell your neighbors. Tell everybody. Make everybody you know that can vote go and vote on April 4th. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Rochelle.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, I asked your guest, your last guest, not your last guest, but Ruby Payne.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know, did you think that was a sensible question that I asked her? Because there was a long pause after I asked the question. And then she said, I asked her, how did she rank African Americans in the order of class? And she was talking about class so much.
And she didn't.
And she said, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
After a long pause. So I just want to know, was that a sensible question?
Absolutely. It's a fair question. Absolutely.
I did just, your last call that was asking those questions, that she's an academic or whatever she was, it wasn't clear to me where she got her statistics from.
She didn't.
She had 32
she
years.
Didn't.
What has she been doing all those 32
years?
Well,
that's anecdotal. That's anecdotal. That's all that is anecdotal.
But I bet you she's had a wake-up call, and maybe she'll think about some of the things she say in the future.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Sam.
Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
I received my absentee ballot for the upcoming election.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find, now I know who not to vote for.
Okay. Peter Downs is one person.
That's one person.
That you do vote for.
Of course.
Okay.
Now, I'm not familiar with the other people.
I had an interview with Joe Clark on Friday. And during the middle of the interview, he got up and walked out.
Okay, that's another one gone.
That's another one gone. And I also, you know, just for everybody to know, Joe Clark is also the father-in-law of Rodney Hubbard.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, and he walked out. So I don't know. So that would be a no.
Uh-huh.
The person that I haven't had a chance to have a conversation with is Donna Jones.
Okay.
And give me another day for that.
Okay.
Those would be the only people that I would even be considering doing this, because the numbers have to work.
Uh-huh.
I've talked to the candidates out there. I've talked to a couple of the candidates out there, and I asked Joe. I asked him, so what is your plan? What's the numerical thing that makes sense to you? How are you going to get your numbers? Because if I can just give you an example, Sam.
Uh-huh.
In the 8th Ward, that's why this race is so – that's why we're not getting any advertising, because the theory of Slay's people is that shut up, don't say anything about it, and then people won't go out and vote and our people will get in.
Mm-hmm.
But here's how the people – when Joe Clark got into the race and others got into the race, it messes up the numbers, and let me show you how. In the 8th Ward, we had Alderman Conway. Conway wanted Jim Buford Slay and Darnetta Klingstad Shamel to get the nominations, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's a vote of the different people within the ward organization. And let's just say, for argument's sake, that there were 100 people in the ward organization.
Okay.
Well, when they did their votes, and they were secret votes, 60 votes went to Peter Downs. He got the nomination straight off the top. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And Darnetta Klingstad got the fewest votes.
Uh-huh.
But people voted for Joe Clark. People voted for Dennis Sharif, and people voted for Donna Jones. And when all of those votes split up, and so that meant that Jim Buford got the nomination. But
mm-hmm.
when you added up all the votes, if you added up the votes that Donna Jones got, because Donna Jones got the fourth highest number of votes, right?
Okay.
So if you add Joe Clark's vote to Donna Jones, which it would have gone if Joe Clark hadn't been there, and Dennis Sharif's vote to Donna Jones, which would have gone there if he hadn't been there, Donna Jones would have had more votes than Jim Buford. So that's how the vote gets split.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the impact of the vote getting split. Clearly, when you look at all the votes cast, when you look at the 60 votes cast for Peter Downs and all of the votes counted for Donna Jones et al., they add up to more votes than Shamel and Slay got, or Darnetta and Jim Buford Slay got total. So
mm-hmm.
everybody was voting against Slay, but
mm-hmm.
because there were so many people to vote against Slay with, the votes got split.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be clear on the two people that we're going to vote for.
Correct.
Because otherwise, you're voting against the board, but you're still not going to make any difference, because your votes are going to be split, and they're going to get in there anyway.
Right.
Their polling, their numbers, they've done a whole bunch of push polls. They've done a bunch of phone calling, and people don't like Darnetta. They blame her, as they should, for what's happened to the schools, and they don't like Jim Buford either. But their names are known better than Adonna Jones.
Right.
And, Peter Downs.
That's why you need to be informed.
And that's why you need to go get everybody in your neighborhood
mm-hmm.
to vote on Election Day, because I submit to you, at 3 weeks out now, and the fact that none of us have received any flyers or anything from this well-funded, moneyed team,
mm-hmm.
that means they're running a low-profile campaign.
Well, I don't trust it. Like I said, it's an absentee vote,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to definitely have it hand-delivered.
There
I want to make sure it
there
gets
you go.
There.
So you know who to vote for.
Absolutely.
All right, now.
You have a good one.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We have so much, so much, so much to talk about. Stay with me now.
Girl, you thought about committing suicide. Was it your pride? Made you want to die. Leave your mama. Wonder why. And your baby used to cry. And was it over? A jilted lover. Trusted brother. Operating undercover. Make you turn your back on your God. Tell me what you crying for. Let him go. He don't want you no more. What you crying for? Stupid. Never know. Once your eyes are closed, off you go. Hey, bruh.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Atlanta.
Kia Motors, the second largest car maker in South Korea, has announced plans to build a $1 billion factory in Georgia. The company says about 2,500 new jobs are to be created, and the plant will be turning out about 300,000 vehicles a year within 3 years. The plant is to be located in the town of West Point near the Alabama border and will be getting state assistance to the tune of over $400 million, which includes land and utility help. And Dateline Pierre. Last week, the governor of South Dakota signed off on legislation that bans nearly all abortions in his state. At the signing, Mike Rounds made the statement that, quote, "In the history of the world, the true test of a civilization is how well people treat their most vulnerable and most helpless in the society." But he forgot to mention that according to the Census Bureau, half of the 10 poorest counties in America are located in his state. In particular, Shannon County, the second highest poverty ranked in the nation, is home to the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, and that's one of the most impoverished places in the nation. 60% of the people living there with children live below the poverty line. And because of substandard health care, the life expectancy for men is age 47, and for women, it's age 56. The infant mortality rate is at least twice as much as the national average, possibly even more than that. Unemployment is over 80%. Teen suicide is four times the norm, and many families living there are without electricity or telephones. And this is in an American state that the governor says cares about its people so much. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Do you feel you've made mistakes in your life and you're looking for redemption and healing? Do you feel that it may not be possible to turn a corner or that you're unworthy of healing? Hear from people who rediscovered their original goodness and found themselves redeemed and healed. That's on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on AM 920 WGNU.
LFI Staffing, Inc. is truly your best resource when it comes to supplemental staffing support. Sure, you might hear other agencies claim to be a one-stop shop for all kinds of staffing needs, but are they experts in those fields? At LFI Staffing, our company president spent his first career as a mechanical engineer. Our regional sales manager has more than 16 years of experience in the temporary staffing industry, and our placement coordinators are fluent in English, Spanish, and Bosnian. Approximately 70% of all applicants applying for positions are screened out prior to being offered an assignment. What it means to you is that you get employees with the skills, experience, and work ethic that you require. Visit us on the web at www.lfistaffing.com and get the details about the services that we provide. Or give us a call. In Missouri, the number is 314-351-TEMP. That's 351-8367. In Illinois, it's 618-452-0700.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower waiting to bloom, like a light bulb in a dark room. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
That's right. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. Dixon.
Yes, Liz, I want to try to find out how can I get a Peter Downs, you understand?
How about tomorrow when Peter comes on tomorrow?
Uh-huh.
I will be able to give you that information. Can you wait till tomorrow?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so tomorrow we'll give out that information of can get a Peter Downs yard sign.
Okay.
Are people talking about the election in your circles?
Yes, they are. Okay. You know, the few that I have, you know, I run into.
Okay, well, see if you can make some more phone calls to folks to get people out planning on getting out for the April election because it's critical. Thank you, Dixon.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609. That would be my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I was thinking about Sodexo. See, parents should have done what you said 2 years ago.
That's right.
Now is the time for them to get organized and stay out a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are not going back. First of all, our children are not the custodians, and tell them they are not the... First of all, don't throw down any paper, but don't pick up anything. You are not the custodian. These folks
That's
are being
bad.
Paid.
That's
and the other
no,
thing.
No, wait a minute. Sodexo is being paid tens of millions
yes,
of dollars.
Yes, I know that.
And they
and
keep
that's what
our
I'm saying
schools
to the parents.
Nasty. They keep our schools nasty.
But the thing about the parents have got to decide. Grandmas and grandpas.
Keep your kids
out. Mama has to go to work, then you take the children. But you need. I think what we really need to do, too, is take the children to the door and start a protest, strike against the schools.
That's fact.
Strike against.
That's a fact.
Have them right there.
That's fact.
But we are not coming in until Sodexo goes out, because we have people that have been laid off that kept the school. They had pride. They kept the schools clean because they felt connected, and the parents and the grandparents, and that's what these ministers, if these ministers are really about something, and they're coming up to Easter now, if they are really about something, they should organize their parishioners. Let's strike against the schools and go down to that go down to the headquarters and get the media involved. This is what we need to do. This is a disgrace. This says we hate you. We just want your money.
That's right. That's exactly
and
what
your
this
child,
is.
You and your child
we hate
don't
you.
Count.
We hate you. We hate you. And I don't care how much money you give to some black organization. You are making our schools nasty, and you can't buy off your responsibility by giving a few measly dollars
That's
to some
right.
black
it's
organization.
A few measly dollars, and the only reason why they did it
is because they're keeping
you
the schools nasty. That's right.
Them.
That's right. That's
Thank
right.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
That's right. Thanks
Love.
For your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. I cannot impress upon you enough how important this school board race is for this year. This upcoming school board race is critical for your community. It is critical for you. And Sodexo is out here trying to feed you human waste and call it sugar is what they're trying to do. And when I say that, I mean that. Because our schools have human waste in them as a result of Sodexo not cleaning. They're trying to hand you human waste and call it sugar. And Sodexo will stay there. Airmark that brings your children moldy food. Nasty. They brought your babies a box of donuts, moldy donuts, poured in a box, not even in individual wrappers, just dumped in a box and said breakfast for your babies. That's what Darnetta Klingstel Shamel has given you. That's what Jim Buford has given you. They don't care about you. They want your money. They don't give a horse's patoot about your children and their education. They want your money. I've been telling you this for 3 years now. And nothing that I've said has turned out to be wrong. I said what Darnetta Klingstell was going to do, and she's done that and more. This election will determine whether or not the city of St. Louis public schools die. That's how critical this election is, and that's no exaggeration. That's a fact. They have been stumbling towards death for 3 years. And if Darnetta Klingstell Shamel gets in, and if Jim Buford Slay gets in, the St. Louis public school system will die. And the final blow will be the creation of a district-wide charter school district with its own separate money and all of your children's money. They'll close Metro down. They'll turn it into a charter school. They'll close Soldan down. They'll turn it into a charter school, and your children won't be able to get into it. I guarantee you. They've already, this monster, ignoramus, that's the sitting in the superintendent's seat, $300,000, $25,000 a month, Craig Williams, never been a superintendent anywhere in the history of the world, is trying to stuff 125 students into Metro next year. Additional. And they're not even going to test to get into Metro next year. If that's not an eve of destruction, what is? You need to plan on voting in the next election. Go vote now. Go get your absentee ballot and be done with it. And go get a bunch of other people to vote as well. Scott.
Yeah, Israel, they want to get this guy that assassinated their one of their leaders, and
they broke into a Palestinian jail. How is that legal?
Well, the thing is that they assassinate Palestinian leaders all the time. I don't understand what they're so upset about.
They broke into a Palestinian jail, and America and the UN suddenly were, all of a sudden, they weren't there anymore. How do you get to break into a jail and take anybody? And then what would be wrong with the Palestinians breaking into your jail and taking some folks?
Are trying to assassinate. I mean, all's fair. I mean, if they assassinate their leaders, then the Palestinians should be able to assassinate Israeli leaders.
Thanks, Scott. I'm Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Talk to him, fine. Answer questions, not a problem. But you can't tell a witness what to say on the stand. And today the judge in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui is asking a federal prosecutor why she allegedly did that.
You understand why the judge is so furious when you see some of these emails that this lawyer for the government had sent around. Not only did she leak the transcript to some of these potential witnesses, she seems to be giving them a few tips, suggesting how they might handle potential problems that the defense might raise on cross-examination.
That's Court TV's Savannah Guthrie in Washington. The body count is going up in Baghdad, at least 85 found in the last 24 hours. Iraqi officials say most of the victims were shot execution style, many found in a mass grave in a Shiite neighborhood. Armed Palestinians stormed the British consul office in Gaza after the Israeli military took control of a prison in Jericho. It says 170 Palestinians in the facility are now in Israeli custody. Some of the inmates were convicted in the killing of a cabinet minister. There are more problems with the SAT.
Last week, the College Board was apologetic after it was learned 4,000 SAT exams had been improperly graded.
We're very apologetic to the students who were affected by this.
College Board spokesman Brian O'Reilly says that was a processing error.
We take this very seriously.
But this time, it appears another 1,600 SAT tests were not graded at all. The New York Times reports the exams are in the custody of the Educational Testing Service and have been set aside for closer examination for one reason or another. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Crews in the Texas Panhandle trying to bring wildfires under control. ABC's Mike Von Fremd is there, and he says that over 700,000 acres have burned. The Dow is up 26 points in early going. The NASDAQ is ahead by 12. ABC News.
This is a test of your cell phone. Does it look at you openly, answer you honestly? Or is it full of nasty surprises at bill time? Does it gloat because you're under contract? Maybe it's time for something new, something clear, simple, and uncomplicated. Net 10. At Net 10, there's no contract, no commitment, and one low rate, just 10 cents a minute, anytime, anywhere in the country. We're so sure you'll fall in love with Net 10. We'll give you 300 minutes free, a $30 value when you activate your Net 10 phone. So get to your nearest Target and partner with a phone you can trust.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
You can add the tax man to the list of people falling prey to internet scams. Here's ABC's Brad Wheelis.
A notice from the IRS can give you a sinking feeling in your stomach, but if it comes via email, you're not in trouble, but you could be in the crosshairs of identity thieves. The IRS is reporting an increase in phishing. That's where identity thieves send emails seeking personal information. The emails often contain the IRS logo. The government says it does not communicate with taxpayers through email, nor does it ask for passwords or other secret information about financial accounts. If you receive an email that looks official, don't respond. Report it. Brad Wheatless, ABC News.
Blondie performs at last night's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Lead singer Debbie Harry didn't let two former members of the band who once sued the group perform. Another honoree, the Sex Pistols, didn't even bother showing up. The British punk rockers sent a profanity-laced letter in their place telling them why they didn't want to be a part of it. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the tornado sirens will be going off around the state today, but unlike this past weekend, it will only be a test. Michael Redman of the St. Louis County Police Department says when people hear the sirens, they should do what they would do if it were a real emergency.
I guess it's a natural curiosity because most people have never seen one, and they want to run out and see it, then run back in and hide. But what they should be doing is using that time wisely to find a safe place in their home or work or school or wherever they are and go to that safe spot because every second can make a difference.
Redman says people need to have a plan and a place to go in the event of a severe weather emergency. He says the drill will also allow officials to test the county's more than 200 outdoor warning sirens. Today's drill will take place at 1:30 p.m. Missouri Attorney General Jay Nixon says he will appeal a ruling that throws out a law barring convicted federal criminals from running for office in Missouri. A Cole County Circuit judge ruled yesterday that the law violates both state and federal equal protection clauses. Nixon says the General Assembly has the authority to set the qualifications for public office in Missouri, and they used that authority properly when they passed a law last year. Finally this hour, Christian Beckman netted the game winner in overtime last night as the Blues topped the Blue Jackets 3-2 at the Savas Center. The win completed a 2-0-2 homestand for the Note with all of the games going to overtime. Scott Young and Mike Glumac also scored for the Blues, and Jay McClement added 3 assists. The victory also vaulted them into 4th place in the Central Division, 2 points ahead of Chicago. The Blues are back on the road Thursday at San Jose. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 255 at Jefferson Barracks Bridge. Look for construction. Two lanes are closed. Southbound 61 and 70. The bridge maintenance operations have that roadway reduced to one lane. There's about a mile backup. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 is slow from Gravois all the way to 44, but it's returned back to normal after 44. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain into West Florissant. Look for a very heavy volume going on there. Westbound 40 at Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for that traffic easing. Eastbound 40 from Mason. Look for that traffic to be easing as well. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Missouri Bank. Look for the right lane to be closed. And traffic is still heavy back at the 5570 split. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the 5570 split. Look for slow traffic as well. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. That congestion has been cleared on those ramps. In both directions, Skinker at Forest Park Parkway is closed due to Metrolink construction. Detours are posted, so use caution as you roll up to that intersection. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash, 100% of the proceeds, support health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the lower 50s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. For Wednesday, partly sunny with a high around 60. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of rain with a low around 40. Then on Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear skies, we have 32 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 33. The wind chill, however, makes it feel like it's 23, so bundle up if you're heading out to the bus stop. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Homeowners, are you looking for a way to cut your bills, to save more of your money, to lower your interest rates? Then take advantage of an asset you already have. It's your home. And if you're like most homeowners who want to cut their expenses, one phone call can unlock a huge savings opportunity. Just call Quicken Loans, America's home loan experts. Listen to this. Quicken Loans can cut your mortgage payment up to 35% or eliminate your credit card debts with a low-rate home equity loan. Call 800-308-0133. With over 150 loan products, the money-saving experts at Quicken Loans can help you cut your expenses. Spend just a few minutes on the phone with Quicken Loans, and they can cut your mortgage payments up to 35%. Call 800-308-0133. 800-308-0133. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. That's Quicken Loans. 800-308-0133. The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen.
You're listening to AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Power.
love, peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. If you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Do not forget that the show is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. And we're streamed at WGNU.net. Or LizBrown.com, and also I'm iPodded at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Those are my digits. Handle your business. Now, at the end of the last hour, we talked a little bit about the politics that are going on in the city of St. Louis. We have to remember that we're taking the first steps into a political season here. There's some races going on the east side, gubernatorial primaries being held. There are school board elections all over the region. And there are also mayoral races. And I want to take some time this morning to, as I always try to do, is to localize, nationalize, and internationalize our issues here. There's a story in the Post-Dispatch yesterday, a story about the public may get say on eminent domain. They're working on it in Jefferson City because eminent domain is a huge issue in this nation. The government coming and taking your property unfairly, the government coming and taking your property in favor of a shopping mall. You decided to stick it out in a community, to live in a community, to work, to make the community to get better, just knowing that next week, next month, next year is going to be better, and you finally get your community headed in the right direction, and then all of a sudden it looks real good for a shopping mall and you lose your property. Eminent domain is on the minds of most Americans because, as I had guests years and years ago on my show, my first year in the business, I had a guest come on. Her name was Bertha Gilkey, and she talked about, Liz, it's always about the land. It's always about the land. So we're going to talk about an election that's going on in this region, an election that's going on in U City, a mayoral election. And we're going to talk about it. Some residents are going to talk about it. And we're going to start to talk about this from the perspective of an eminent domain issue. I have a number of guests in the studio with me this morning. I have Don and Dolores Mills. I have Leroy Gill. I have Stella Hughes and Angela Moorhead here to talk about life in U City and the upcoming election in U City. I want to start with you, Don. If I may, I'd like to talk to you. Good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
I'd like to talk to you about life in U City. How long have you been living in U City?
My wife and I have lived in U City since 1970.
Yes. And you like it?
Yes, we chose University City because of the diversity of University City.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really why we chose it. It was a pretty nice home in New City, so we bought a place there and moved there.
Mm-hmm. And in the last, 10 years or so, what's life been like living in New City from a homeowner's perspective and from a business owner? Because you own some businesses or you own some property?
Yes, I own real estate in New City.
Okay, so talk to us about that.
Well, about 10 years ago, actually about 1995, the city decided to do spot blighting by eminent domain in the Del Mar Loop area. It so happens my wife and I own two six-family buildings that they targeted. There were a total of 11 properties, one owned by white and 10 others were owned by blacks. The situation was that I got a letter from attorneys that were hired by the Land Clearance Utilization Authority that stated that they intended to take our property by paying us $10,000 for its six-family building. And they were going to use...
Great deal if you can get it, huh?
Yes. And they used the terms I saw sort of Malcolm X. They said, we're going to take it by whatever means necessary. Mm. And my wife and I sort of chuckled when we got that letter. But fortunate for us, we had enough money to hire a pretty good attorney from the city of Clayton, as well as my wife was filed a complaint with the HUD, with HUD. And HUD, I'm sorry about my phone, I forgot to turn it off. HUD did a thorough investigation along with the attorney who managed to put that into a court case.
So we had two things going on simultaneously. We had a battle, a legal battle from a private attorney that you hired, and we also had a complaint filed with HUD about the same properties.
Same properties.
And again, we have approximately 11 property owners, and 10 of them are people of African descent.
Yes.
So, and who was the mayor at the time that this eminent domain process was started against you?
Joe Moore. Okay. I mean, Joe Adams was
Joe Adams. And so tell us about that fight that you had. What was his position on this?
His position was that he considered our property to be slum property, as he related to a number of individuals that we know, and it was appropriate to take it by eminent domain to the spot blighting, as it was designed, as they were trying to carry it out. The unfortunate thing for me that I developed a very detailed plan for rehab in that property. As a matter of fact, that was taken directly to the court in Clayton by attorney, and the attorney and the judge felt that my detailed rehab plan was appropriate and adequate.
How long did you own the property?
I bought the property in 1980.
Okay.
So I'd owned the property for a little while at that time. We'd cleared the property out deliberately to rehab the property. We'd already done furnaces, ripped out the plumbing to put in new plumbing, and basically just to rehab the property. A lot of it had already been done at the time they decided we were going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they operated, it wasn't so much that they tried to take it by any domain. I have no problem with a fair fight. The city refused to issue me permits. We were not allowed permits to actually rehab the property.
So once they started the fight with you saying that we want your property for $10,000 a building.
That's correct.
We want to take it from you by process of eminent domain.
That's correct.
The only way that you can get out of this is if you rehab your building and make it into the building that we want it to, but we're not going to let you have the permits to do that.
No, they did not even want me to rehab the property. As a matter of fact, their position was that they were going to take the property regardless of what I did to it. It didn't matter that I had a plan and already started to rehab the property some 2 or 3 years in advance of that.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs was no way, no how. We want the property. We're going to take the property.
Mm-hmm. So how did you deal with the issue of permits?
The attorney kept hearing my case back to the judge in Clayton. And finally, the judge in Clayton was so fed up with him, he threatened to fine him on a day-by-day basis until they issued
me
the city of University City on a day-by-day basis until they issued me permits.
Mm. So
and within a very short period of time,
I got permits.
Yes.
So, and again, did you have a conversation with or did you talk to the mayor of U City about this?
Well, my wife attempted to, and when she knocked on his door, he lives only one block from me.
He's a neighbor, basically.
Yes, he's a neighbor. He asked my wife, do I know you? And we lived there for a long time. And what do you want? And it was the way he actually approached her, his response was actually insulting, to say the least, in the sense that I lived only one block from him for all this time period. And he was in favor of the process of eminent domain. He said we were slum property and we didn't deserve to own the property. That was his position.
So the judge ordered that the city give you your permits.
Yes.
How did the case turn out?
The case turned out they dropped their eminent domain claim and we maintained possession of our property. We were the only African-Americans whose property was not taken in that process.
Mm.
The other nine all lost their property to the city.
Mm.
And the city gave that property to the Parkwood Gardens Association. The Parkwood Gardens Association used $5 million from the federal government to rehab those buildings to turn them into rental properties.
So the 10 people that started out with you, all people of African descent, they all lost their property except for you?
Yes.
Now, did you know, it's my understanding that none of you knew about each other in the process of this until the very end.
Not until the very end did we know who the others were. We knew that we had a fight on our hands, but we didn't know who the other individuals were who were in the same situation as we were.
So there's an election coming up in a couple of weeks. Is this an important election for you, and why?
Yes, it's a very important election for me because when Shelley first started to run for Shelley Wells, who's now running for the mayor of University City, mm-hmm. when she first started to run as a council person, she came to our door. My wife met her, and we talked. We liked her programs in terms of primarily in terms of inclusiveness, as well as letting the citizens know what city government was all about. It was her opinion that city government should work for the people as well as to keep the people informed. During the time that I was in my fight with University City, it was pretty much run by a good old boys club. Mm-hmm. They got together, they decided what was going to happen, and basically they intended to make that happen. And there was little or no city involvement. I used to go to city court for housing, and I would say 99% of the people who were there were black, were African Americans.
And when you say you went to city court for housing, you're talking about for housing citation.
Yes, housing citation. That was a very onerous type manner in which they proceeded to prove that property was not up to snuff, mm-hmm. and that the properties, especially primarily in the black area, were not keeping their properties up the way they should have kept their properties up. Mm-hmm. Now, the same courts that I went to, you would also see lawyers for the large real estate development, large mm-hmm. real estate companies. They were always asked to come forward first. I never ever saw one of those guys cited for any kind of property violation. Mm-hmm. They were simply said, someone from the office, not office of the mayor, but so the person who directed the city, Olin Doss Group, would say, okay, we'll let this slide for the next meeting. I would go back and I would see him at the next meeting, and with the same kind of statement. I never ever saw one of those guys fined or ever called on the court by the judge that cited over those particular cases. Mm. Now, it was an altogether different story for those individuals who got cited. They got fined, and in some cases they were given extensions, but if those extensions weren't carried out, in most cases there would be a fine that followed that, a court cost as well as a fine.
Mm. And, Don, you're not the only person in the studio with me this morning. I'd like to move to Stella. Stella, good morning.
Good morning.
Pull yourself up to the mic just a little bit there. And, Stella, the good old boy, the buddy-buddy system that Don was talking about, has that been your experience in U City?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, how long have you been living in U City?
I've been in your city. It will be 40 years in May.
40 years.
Yes.
And you must like it.
I love it. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to live. The location is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the Third Ward. Mm-hmm. And the neighborhood that I live in reminds me of small towns. If mm-hmm. you've ever lived in a small town, everybody knows everybody. The only difference is everybody minds their own business. But it's a very comfortable place. I raised my family there. As a matter of fact, my son liked it so well, he lives in a house up the street from us. His family.
Very good. So talking, listening to Don talk about the government, the way that the U City government is run. You've lived there for 40 years. Talk to us about life nowadays in U City.
Okay.
Politically speaking.
I'm also a property owner mm-hmm. in U City, and I'm a realtor, and I know that there have been lots of changes mm-hmm. in U City, and right now we are in a prime position in demand. Property values have gone up over 38%.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it has not been even in the amount of rise, it has been a good investment for
mm-hmm.
everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think that City Hall has become complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And it is time for change.
When you say
and sometimes you have to be outside of the box to get this change.
When you talk about complacency, what does that mean? Can you give us some examples of that?
I think It is my understanding that the council is supposed to make policy and implement policy. The city manager is to implement the policies that the council makes. And it the people in office have been there so long that it's like whatever is presented to the council is rubber stamped and it's done, rather than the council making the presentation. Mm-hmm. And we need to have people in leadership positions that will do their job.
You've been there for 40 years.
Yes.
And have you lived in the Third Ward for those 40
years? Yes.
How much of a focus has the future or the economic development of the Third Ward, how much of a focus has the Third Ward been for the current administration in terms of economic development, in terms of opportunities economically? For how much of a focus has the Third Ward been?
There has been none. University City is a bedroom community, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that people would like to keep it that, mm-hmm. but realistically, with the cost of city government now, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. It is taxing the homeowners almost to the point. Particularly, we have an aged community, mm-hmm. and our senior citizens cannot afford to keep their properties if the taxes keep rising. And there is opportunity. Businesses want to locate mm-hmm. there. And we cannot continue to maintain the status quo. Mm-hmm. I think that the city's focus has been blind. They have blinders on where the Third Ward is concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, we can kind of do whatever we want to do. They don't care, and when they look up, it will be done. Mm. And I don't think that Shelley would do that. She is for inclusiveness. She has convinced me that she wants everybody to be a part of her administration. She is offering hope for the future.
Well,
she has insisted on diversity.
Well, let me ask you this question because we have to go to a break. For those people that don't live in the Third Ward, that don't live in U City, that are listening to the show and trying to get a visual and an understanding of what are the political dynamics that are going on in U City right now, what does a Third Ward look like? What's a Third Ward made up of?
The Third Ward is predominantly African American. Mm-hmm. Being a realtor, I have noticed, believe it or not, a lot of the offsprings of former residents who lived in the community coming back into the community.
I have no problem believing that. I understand.
And also, the Third Ward offers good housing stock mm-hmm. at an affordable price. Okay. It's not cheap, mm-hmm. but it's cheaper than the Second and First Ward.
Okay, and so we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'm talking to Stella Hughes, Don and Dolores Mills, Leroy Gill, and Angela Moorhead. We're talking about politics. We're talking about the city of U City. We're talking about an upcoming election from the citizens that live in that community. We'll continue with this conversation in just a few minutes. Don't forget your opportunity to jump in for the Liz Brown Because We Care package is coming up real soon, right, Howard? All right. Stay with us. Oh, you're going too fast. You got your hands on the air with your feet on the gas. About to wreck your future, running from the past. You need to slow down, baby. Sometimes you gotta. Time again to register.
for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Need to get it off your chest? 314-454-0400 1-877-920-WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, the cure for the common cause.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
As the temperature outside starts to dip, the ASPCA reminds you to think about your pet's safety and recommends the following guidelines to protect your companion animals. Keep your cats inside. Outdoor cats can freeze, become lost or stolen, injured or killed. During the winter, outdoor cats sometimes choose to sleep under the hoods of cars where it's warmer. Before starting your car, you should bang loudly on the hood and wait a few seconds to give the cat a chance to escape. Never let your dog off the leash on snow or ice, especially during a snowstorm. Dogs frequently lose their scent in snow and ice and can easily become lost. More dogs are lost in the winter than any other season, so make sure they always wear ID tags. Thoroughly wipe off your dog's legs, paws, and stomach when they come in out of the sleet, snow, or ice. Salt can irritate paws, and antifreeze or other chemicals could be toxic if ingested. Visit www.aspca.org for more information.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake-Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri, St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information. The Wake Up Call wants to make you a winner, and here's how. Every day when you hear the sounder, be the third caller, and you'll be registered for our Friday Because We Care giveaway. Each Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be choosing at least two names from those registered. The winners receive a Because We Care package, which might include a book by a recent guest, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, or other assorted goodies. You must pick up your package at the WGNU studios on Union within 7 days. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of the Wake Up Call family, where all you have to do to learn and win is listen. The information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head. For you. I need you so badly, I can't think of anything but you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. This morning we're talking some local politics with national repercussions. We're talking about eminent domain. We're also talking about an upcoming election in U City, the election of the mayor of the city of U City. And I have guests joining me in the studio this morning. People that live in U City to talk about their life experiences as residents of U City, their life experiences with the politics of U City, specifically with the mayor's office in U City. I have the guests joining me this morning, Angela Moorhead, Stella Hughes, Leroy Gill, Don, and Dolores Mills. And I'd like to start, come back with you, Mr. Gill. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Just great.
Very good. You are a U City resident.
Yes, over 30 years.
Over 30 years.
Yes.
So I don't have to ask you, but I'm going to ask you anyway how you like it.
I love it.
Delighted. It's a very, let's the other people here with us, it's a very diverse area. I'm just ecstatic with our administrators, with the police department. Everything about it is very, very good. Mm-hmm. We have come a long way. Mm-hmm. We have to move forward. We've come to a point now where we heard earlier about eminent domain. I see U City as like any other city. We have to make some decision. We have to do something. We just can't stand still and do nothing.
Mm-hmm. And because this is a mayoral election coming mm-hmm. up, you've had experience with both the candidates?
Yes.
Okay. Talk to us about the experience that you've had with Shelley
Welsh, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Shelley, worked with her personally with various committees. Personally in mind community.
She's your representative.
She's my representative. She's the second ward representative. Mm-hmm. We have worked very close together, my block association. Mm-hmm. We have some 72 homes that are represented by myself, mm-hmm. and we have worked closely with her. Actually, when she was installed as the council person, I was there. Very impressed with her leadership, being able to work with people. Being able to work with the metropolitan area, and when you talk about the River de Pere, the River de Pere has been a major thing because she was able to bring people together along there all the way down to the Merrimack. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very impressive to me.
You've been there 30 years. Had you other mayors have come mm-hmm. and gone in that 30-year mm-hmm. process, and other projects have come and gone during
yes.
that 30 years. How would you compare the River de Pere project with the coming together of people with that compared to other projects that you've seen in your community? Was it different?
For my involvement, yes. Mm-hmm. My involvement, I had never seen one working like she has mm-hmm. To make that happen. Joe has done a magnificent job from the time he started, from my perspective. Mm-hmm. There are issues that I even have now, but it's not about Joe now. It's about moving on with someone there that can do the job.
And so the Joe that you're talking about is the current mayor of
New York
City.
That's right. Joe Adams I like Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it has nothing to do personally. It has to do with someone that's haven't become, I don't want to say stagnant, but I like to see some progress being made now.
Mm-hmm. Of course, if you're not related to somebody that's running for office, if you're not related for somebody running for office, it shouldn't be personal. It shouldn't be personal. So let's move away from that. Tell us the reasons why you decided to do something a little different.
Well, one of the things I wanted to feel like that I do have a say-so mm-hmm. in what's happening in the community. That's where Shelley has proved to me that I can do that. I feel a part. She mm-hmm. she does things to make you feel that way. If you take time to get to know her, you'll find that in her. I also believe that there is a point in time when I've done my best, mm-hmm. and I've got to do something else to help. If I can't help in the process at this position, maybe I can be of help someplace else.
And you're talking about Joe right now.
Joe Adams, he has done a good job for University City.
Mm-hmm. But it's time for a change.
It's time for a change.
Now, in terms of the politics of this, in terms of the energy of this campaign, how are you seeing the citizens of U City responding to the choice that they have in the mayoral candidate? Is it different this time, this election?
I believe that it possibly is different. I'm seeing because I'm more involved now. I think that when we all get involved, we'll see something different than what we see. There's a lot of things out there. There are a lot of negative forces out there. There's always going to be there. It's going to always be present. We have to be able to take that negative force and use it to an advantage to help us as a whole, mm-hmm. as a U City as a whole. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to do that. There are things, decisions have to be made, and I won't be part of it. Shelley Welsh has that kind of demeanor. She wants you to be involved.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that Don Mills mentioned when he was talking before the last break, he talked about his concern, and it was echoed also by Stella, that there is this buddy-buddy system that exists in the governmental process of UCity right now, which makes it difficult for citizens to have the type of access that you're talking about that they want and that they should have. Has that been your experience, too? Have you felt some of that either non-inclusiveness or kind of like needing maybe a little membership card before you can really have access to any changes in your community?
Well, I'll tell you this, is that, first of all, is there is a point in time in anything. Mm-hmm. You become stagnant. You mm-hmm. become part of that your peers around you. And you start to work on things together, and sometimes you don't involve people that need to be involved. I'm not saying that's the case here. I'm saying that you have to be involved. I wasn't involved in the issues that we just talked about. I wasn't involved in that, you know. So I do know that those are issues. Those are issues that people that are in those situations need to have. They need something from me. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I can help in some kind of way. Yes, those issues are there. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert on it.
Mm-hmm. But you feel a different type of opportunity for you to participate in government that you haven't felt before with this campaign? That the door may be open wider for you to come through on?
I have to justify when I say that. I believe that in a short period of time, and I'll say a short period, 30 years in University City, mm-hmm. Being a terrific place to live. Mm-hmm. During that period of time, I felt wonderful about University City. Mm-hmm. I've seen some changes happen. So I believe that before, the opportunity may have been there. Maybe I didn't take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, I have to attend my meetings, mm-hmm. my meetings being council meetings and the other meetings that they have. I have to be involved so that I don't get blindsided by something. Mm-hmm. You know, so those things are there, and we have to do what we have to do. I have to do what I have to do in order to make sure that I don't get blindsided things.
Okay, and let me move to another guest that we have here in the studio, Angela Moorhead. Good morning. I'm going to move the microphone over to you. There you go.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
And you live in UCity as well?
Yes, I do.
How long have you lived in UCity?
14 years.
14 years? And you like living in UCity?
I love UCity.
Okay, and you live in the Third Ward?
I'm in the Third Ward.
One of the things, one of the backstories to you, Angela, is how you came to be part of this of a mayoral campaign here. Have you ever been involved in a mayoral race or politics before?
Never.
What? We have to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to ask you to respond to what possessed you to do that.
Okay.
At this point in time. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I'm talking to Don and Dolores Mills, Leroy Gill, Stella Hughes, and Angela Moorhead. We're talking about the election coming up in University City, the mayoral election, eminent domain, access to government, and so much more. Don't forget, call in for your, when you hear it, call in for your gift, your opportunity to, for the Because We Care, Liz Brown Wake Up Call packages. Listen up. I'll be back.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline London. Remember Jean-Charles de Menzies? He was the 27-year-old Brazilian national that was shot to death by London police last year on the day of the subway bombings. It was subsequently revealed that he had nothing to do with the events of the day, and that police had made a mistake when they killed him. Now comes word that police are trying to tie him to a rape case. Police are trying to get permission to take DNA samples from his body to make their case. Authorities say a woman who says she was raped 3 years ago is naming de Menzies as her assailant. But his family says they're outraged by these latest allegations, and this shows that the only thing the London police are trying to do is deflect the blame from themselves for his wrongful death. First, they accused him of being a terrorist, and now they bring this allegation when he's no longer here to defend himself. It's already been established that police reports have been altered about the shooting of de Menzies. A detective who was assigned to watch a suspect believed to be involved in the bomb plot somehow went to the wrong apartment complex and was tailing de Menzies instead of a man named Hussein Osman. After police realized they'd killed the wrong man on the day of the bombings, a report was changed to make it say police knew that he was not the suspect who was under surveillance. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
In the game of life, your credit score can make all the difference in the world.
The Smith family is going for a home loan. The referees are reviewing their credit score.
Wouldn't you like to know your credit score before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and get your credit score and credit report online for free.
Upon further review, the loan is approved.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
You finish with your price?
Yeah, take them.
Hey, with your Medicare drug plan, you're only paying $28 a month?
Yeah.
For which drug? All of them.
The more you know about Medicare prescription drug coverage, the better it sounds.
I'll help you pick a plan. If I can do it, you can do it.
No kidding.
Oh, you want to be smart? Give me back my price.
For help, call 1-800-MEDICARE, go to Medicare.gov, or turn to each other. To avoid penalties, sign up by May 15th. Paid for by the Department of Health and Human Services.
Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., what to do. How about joining me for the Susan Smith Harmon Show on AM 920 WGNU? We'll talk about all of the politics we're used to, plus anything else that gets our attention. Frank will be along just for fun. It'll be a great time. 10 a.m. every Tuesday, right here on AM 920. WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Shadows are falling all over town. Another night and this blues coming down. Oh, misery, I sure could use some company.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. This morning we're talking a little local, we're talking a little national, we're talking about politics, and specifically in the city of U City. We have an election coming up, a mayoral election coming up in U City, an interesting one. We have a man who has been a mayor for 10 years, Joe Adams. He has been a mayor for 10 years. He is a man of African descent who's running against Shelley Welsh. Shelley Welsh has been a council person for how many years?
Three years.
And she is white. We have an interesting dynamic going on in this election in U City. And I brought in to facilitate this conversation in order to put the real personal connect, make the real personal connection, and to give you insight and give you feeling and give you a connection to the folks that actually live in U City and what their lives are like in U City. We went out of break talking to Angela Moorhead. And Angela, you were going to tell us about what in the world caused you to enter into, be part of a mayoral race.
Well, one day I received a pamphlet in the mail talking about this lady, Shelley Welch.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was angry because I was fed up for 14 years that I was having problems in the area where I live with certain neighbors. Certain things were going on that was not noticed. People just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I wrote a letter to Shelley. And I explained to her of all the conditions that was going on with the neighbors, with the drug trafficking and all the other things that were going on in the neighborhood. And she responded to my letter and she called me. And I was really surprised. And we got to talking. And
now, why did you write to her? She's not your counsel person.
No, but she was the only one. I took a chance. I said, I wonder, will she listen to me? Because no one has listened to me in the past. So I wonder if she's the one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try, and I'm going to write this letter to her, hoping to get a response. And she responded in a week later. And she called me, and we talked, and we met up, and I started working with her. And she came to my home. We walked the neighborhood together. I was shocked. I was like, are you sure you want to do this? She walked the neighborhood with me. We knocked on doors. She introduced herself and talked to some of the people. Some of the doors were slammed, but we didn't let it bother us. We just went on to the next and to the next. And, you know, she talked about what changes that she wanted to make in the community and that she introduced herself, talked about the years being on the council, and she talked about the recreation, the neon sign, and she talked about the taxes, what she can do about lowering the taxes, and we talked about the development in the neighborhood, which right now our neighborhoods are, as far as, you know, I'm a homeowner and my husband and I, we have a small business. It's a landscaping business. We've been doing this for like 3 to 4 years. When we moved in the neighborhood, it was just like a regular neighborhood. When my husband and I got together and we fixed up the hood, we fixed up our house, everybody else started fixing up their homes. It started to change totally. But we still got some bad apples, you know. And what I'm trying to say is this one particular bad apple, I've been writing, I've gone to court, I have talked to the public relations, I have been trying to get someone to listen to me.
And Shelley has listened to
me. And Shelley, I mean, I've been waiting on Shelley for 14 years.
Okay, we have some callers here that want to jump into the conversation. Let me get to some of them, and then I want to get back to some more of your comments, okay? Let me get to Bill.
Yes, my comment about University City, I'm a resident of University City, concerns the slap at the rec center about usage of the swimming pool there, which I thought was very racist indeed. With the way the scheduling was proposed.
What kind of scheduling are we talking about, Bill?
Well, for residents and non-residents, for the lap swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lap swimmers would have a certain part of the pool, and it was for for non-residents to use the lap pool, and residents just couldn't walk in and use the lap pool. They had to schedule their time, but non-residents who paid could use the lap pool at their whim.
So, Bill?
Yeah.
So, are you going to be involved in this upcoming election?
Oh, sure, without a doubt.
Because my
University City has really evolved into two cities.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's the part that's north of Olive Street Road and the part that's south of Olive Street Road. It's quite clear.
Okay.
Right.
So,
and I'm for Mr. Adams. You know, I've always voted for him.
Okay.
And I don't have any problem voting for him again.
Okay.
But I just think that something needs to be addressed about the black people who live north of Olive Street Road.
And so, what has Mr. Adams done about that?
Well, what he hasn't done?
What has he done? What hasn't he done?
What he hasn't done, I think, is that he hasn't put enough influence in the fact about black businesses, because when you look at the Chinese west on Olive Street Road, how they've developed in there, they've obviously got some monies from U City, you know.
So then that's not a concern? Bill, is that a concern of yours?
Yes,
that,
it's a concern.
All right.
Right.
Thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Jamala.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Your guest. The question I had is that just kind of coincidental that you have them on today, because I just talked about University City in terms of police accountability, and the Organization for Black Struggle has a long history of dealing with police brutality in these municipalities, and someone just asked me yesterday which municipality seem to have the least problems with police brutality. And I said the first municipality that came to mind was University City. And we have had the least complaints about that, and the people that I know have had little or no complaints about the police there. And I would just wanted to ask your guest, is that a perception, or is there something that the police chief or the mayor or the council is doing differently about police brutality and their relationship with the community residents?
Jamala, thank you for your question.
Okay.
Anybody want to speak to that?
Well, the only question I would, this is Don Mills, the only question I would address about that is in terms of, you might say, profiling. The problem that I and my wife and I have had is that frequently you have police that are done north and south, ticketing the residents who live there for minor infraction. And if you look at the actual police reports that's published by the state, you'd find that we're about 42% of the population, and yet and still, the number of citations that were given to blacks was really about 52. There were 52% stops, and in terms of arrests, there were 83.2% arrests. Mm. And in terms of searches, there were 99.3%.
Mm.
Now, that's a disproportionate to our percent of the population that exists there.
Mm-hmm.
So
perhaps not in the issue of police brutality, but in the issue of profiling, there are some issues that really need to be addressed.
Absolutely.
Leroy Gill would like to say this about it. I'm involved with a focus group, which involved the police department, and we meet once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never once heard of that as being a concern, because this is a group of community.
Of what?
Of the police profiling.
But those are the numbers that come out of Jay Nixon.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that. And if we're going to resolve something, mm-hmm. we need to be involved in making sure that we are doing it. Now, all I'm saying is this is a group that we have community leaders that come together, and we have an opportunity to bring those issues, mm-hmm. and then they're investigated. That's all
I'm
saying.
Have you all talked about those numbers before?
I heard those numbers this morning.
Okay. So this is something that y'all need to talk about.
We need to talk about it.
Absolutely. Get those numbers. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, and I know there are people on the line that still want to talk to us. We will continue this conversation, but I want to take the time before you go to thank you all so much for joining me here on the show, and we're going to be talking about U City as we get closer and closer to the election. Don and Dolores Mills, thank you so much. Leroy Gill, thank you so much. Stella Hughes, thank you so much. And Angela Moorhead, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Liz.
I guess I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
You were born with
King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Olinger.
I felt the government dropped the ball.
Barry Zolman has a few questions for a federal prosecutor in Zacharias Moussaoui's trial. He lost his brother on 9/11. Moussaoui is the only person charged in the attacks. The judge in the case, meanwhile, is asking plenty of her own questions. The lawyer is accused.